other. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is October 1st, 2008. We're going to be live here for the next 4 hours. We have four amazing guests coming up in 1 hour. Andrew Gauss, just a very informative, extremely powerful speaker on what's happening with the economy. I think you'll be very impressed with him if you don't know who he is. George Butler, a local talk show host and a talk show host right here on GCN as well. He'll be popping in for an hour-long visit. Then we have Peter Schiff, who's one of Ron Paul's main economic advisors. Again, very impressive economic credentials and just stunning on-target analysis. We'll get his perspective. So that is coming up today. We also have another surprise guest that's going to be popping in. But Andrew Gauss, George Butler, Peter Schiff, and others today. Well, in the last 2 weeks, since they started, quote, publishing the economic bailout plan, it has been very hard to find it. The public only got a few hours on Monday to look at what was secretly written up on Sunday last week. And it turned out it was complete and total immunity, imperial God Emperor powers. I mean, no oversight, no control. The Treasury can do anything it wants. It'll now be basically private with the Federal Reserve, government of, for, and by a select group of criminal what are known as international bankers, but they're just scam artists. On and on and on. $5 trillion, not $700 billion. That's Bloomberg and others saying around $5 trillion. Others say $3 trillion. Others say $9 trillion. But $5 trillion's the conservative numbers it shows. And then later last week, and then into this week, they claim on the Senate website they're posting the bill. But in three or four different browsers, at computers at home, the office, for Kurt Nemo out in New Mexico, no one could basically download it, and most people can't even read it. And we've finally been able to get a copy and get it up on Infowars.com, putting it on our own server. But inside the PDF file, there's some type of corruption, which is originally on the Senate and House website, where even most people can't get it there. I finally was able to print off a copy. And the entire thing is pork barrel. It's now close to 500 pages. It has immunity. In the words of the Washington Post, and by the way, I've only read part of the bill. I haven't had time to read all 470-something pages. I have scanned over it, and I have a long list of notes here. And we're going to be having some experts on today who've looked at it as well. And this is a big novel to tackle, and it's also in legalese. But in the words of the Washington Post, which is the establishment, but they're telling the truth here, they say sweeping new powers for the Treasury in their 20-something page breakdown of section by section. And it's far worse than even what the Washington Post is saying. But in their words, sweeping powers for the Treasury. And it's all in there. It's just stated in more legalese than the first bill that we saw last week that said that the Treasury was above the law and that no one could even review that. No one could even question in any branch of government, any court. Well, it's all in there.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All eyes are on the debate tonight, the only vice presidential debate to be held in St. Louis, Missouri. Sarah Palin is an absolute, complete puppet that doesn't know which end is up. We've got Joe Biden, a consummate insider, 30-plus years in the Congress, just involved in every criminal operation of the Senate, knows where all the bodies are buried, publicly implicated in international bribery scams with Uzbekistan and Pakistan, deeply involved with the decoy hijackers in the planning of the 9/11 attacks. But I know the Democrats want to be fooled and want to think everything's fine. And, well, I'm now being accused of being a Republican operative because I'm not worshiping at the feet of Barack H. Obama and Joe Biden. Well, I'm not going to be worshiping at the feet of Sarah Palin or John McCain either. By the way, I don't get to vote. I live in Travis County where Hardiner Civics has been caught involved rigging elections, where polls don't matter, who is going to win, and reality doesn't matter. Hardiner Civics does the voting. I caught the county clerk back in 98 with the Scantron ballots they put into computers as well, stealing the election, and it came out. I accused her of changing safety seals, breaking safety seals, falsifying signatures, double counting ballot boxes, and then the state board came out and said, yeah, she did do all that. It was an accident. Yeah, you know, you forge signatures by accident. You falsify safety seals by accident. You double count ballot boxes by accident. And the state board certified that election with Karen Sunliner. At 2 a.m., she was losing. I went to bed at like midnight, seeing her losing by 10 points. Couldn't stand Karen Sunliner. They were running a big CPS ring, grabbing kids for being tardy to class. It wasn't even violating state law. They were calling in truancies and snatching them. So I had a public beef with them then when I had time to battle with the locals, not just nationally. And, you know, we had the eyewitnesses. We had the insiders. We had police at the convention center where they had the computers, and we had other people in the county tell us this, so I went on air and said it, and guess what? I was right. Just like when I said John Villarreal and others above him were stealing money out of the city, that son of a bitch threatened to sue me, and I said, you go ahead, buddy. I'm going to sue you, and I got the documents, and he's in Huntsville prison right now. We didn't get the ringleaders, though. I know what I'm talking about. Corruption is everywhere. Criminals basically run the entire system. And they suck the whole thing dry, and it's going into terminal velocity. So I don't want to hear about the election. I don't get to vote. I live in Travis County. We don't have real elections here. I live in a county and a city where they steal the land of ranchers and farmers at gunpoint, claiming it's going to be an environmental preserve, and I watch the politicians, this is going back 11 years ago, laugh at me in a parking lot after a debate and say, yeah, we're going to take it all, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. And you know what? They've taken that land they stole, and it's not environmental preserves. It's $5 million and million-dollar houses and golf courses and luxury day spas. And that's how it works. And if you don't like it, the police will drop by and spray bullets into you and your family. That's what they think. They think they're getting away with all this. So no, I'm not going to sit here and talk about Sarah Palin and that criminal Joe Biden, because I know what's going on, and I'm not going to play games anymore. I'm tired of people eating around the edges of this New World Order. I'm tired of people denying what we face. Let me give you a news flash. Most of the food additives that are even, quote, in semi-organic food you're eating, anything processed, are made in China, and they're full of melamine, plastic, toxins, poisons. Most of the drugs you take, even over the counter, came from China. Most of the vaccines you take are filled with cancer viruses. And many of the blood drugs are filled with HIV. And it's all true, and it's all happening. And we're going from 1 in 1,000 having diabetes to 1 in 3 and 1 in 33 with cancer, now to 1 in 2 in men. Yeah, the number just changed from 1 in 3 that are going to get it. Let me give you a news flash. You can live in denial all day. You can sit there and say we're making this up or we're exaggerating, but in your gut, you know I'm telling you the truth. Let me tell the cops something. Let me tell the CPS worker something. Let me tell the government bureaucrat something. You think you're going to ride out this storm and write your tickets and squeeze the public and seize homes and assets and that you're still going to be taken care of because you work for the government? It's called hyperinflation. They can even give you a pay raise of 5-10% a year. When this stuff really starts hitting, and it's starting to hit now, there's nothing you can do. You're going to get hurt by your masters too. So don't you worry. You're not going to escape any of it. I just want you to know that. And you go ahead and roll your sleeve up and take that shot. And you go ahead and drink that tap water. And you just go ahead. And you just laugh at me all day. But I've told you nothing but the truth. It's disgusting. Makes me sick to watch everything going to hell in a handbasket. I got to settle down. I just can't get mad anymore. You know why I'm upset? Because this depression we're going to have is going to look like Road Warrior. You know, I get too close to the problem. I get so close to the problem year after year, laying out exactly how this would happen, exactly how they'd start the implosion, exactly what they do, because it's all in IMF and World Bank documents and inside sources we've got inside Bilderberg, on and on and on, studying historical operations, what the New World Order's done in third world countries, the same thing they're doing here now. We know exactly, but not, I'd love to take credit for that. It's because it's a confession. They tell us exactly how they do it. And, you know, I get intense. It is intense that they put hundreds of different toxins and poisons in the water under the name fluoride. And then sodium fluoride itself is deadly, but the other stuff's even more deadly. It's totally freaky that we've gone from 1 in 33 to cancer to 1 in 2 in men and 1 in 3 in women. It's totally freaky that there's kids dying all over the neighborhoods and all over the places I live of all sorts of leukemias and cancers when they're 3, 4, 5 years old with no history of it in their family. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And all these gullible people who most of them think they're doing good inside the system have no idea you are manifesting hell right now. So don't tell me about the election. I don't get to vote. Don't tell me, shame on you, you're not voting. Then people say, well, why are you saying vote then? Because they don't have fraud in about 60% of the country that we know of through the computers. They do it the old-fashioned way, and it's badly coordinated and not complete. And I think you should still vote in Travis County and Austin, and you should still respond to polls to show it's phony and to have exit polls, and we've been doing that locally, exposing that there's a fraud. And I could go on for hours about it. Hell, I watched Pat Buchanan with about 55% of the vote on the internal computers the times I volunteered down there, and I talked to everybody stacking up the Scantrons to put them in, and it was more than half bubbled in for Pat Buchanan. And when they were done in Travis County, Pat Buchanan got like 5% back in 96 in the Republican primary. I've seen it with my eyeballs. Am I saying give up the fight? No, I'm saying admit how far down we are on the board instead of all this baloney. You may think it's cute that most of the food we're eating's got poison in it. You may think it's cute you're shooting your kid up with mercury. You may think it's cute they're putting lead and arsenic and 100 other plus things in your water. But let me tell you something. I don't think it's funny. Let me explain. It's not contaminated water. That's just what they're putting in. I've seen studies going back over a decade where they're finding the different fluoride compounds, that's what Prozac is, but they're finding serotonin reuptake inhibitors of Prozac and the other 50-something there are, though it's more than that, all basically the same attack molecule. Yeah, dying feels good. Getting drunk feels good as brain cells die. You better believe eating that fluoride molecule with all the different things that are added to it feels good. You bet. When a big cobra bites you right before you die, kind of feels good. You kind of, oh man, I'm feeling good right now. It doesn't matter, though. You're just going to get big goblets of water and drink it with pleasure. I understand. You were born to be slave to the New World Order. I know it's what you want. I understand you're cowards, and so you will deny the fact. But it makes me flip out. All right, we got a bunch of big guests coming up today. And I want to get into the bailout because I've had a chance to scan over it, and I've had a chance to read what others who've read it, the sections they've pointed out, and I've gone to those sections, and indeed, it has total, complete immunity, no oversight. It creates fake oversight bodies, but those are all under the Treasury Secretary, and so they're just his puppets. So before, the bill just said, no oversight, no one can even look at it. Now it says, no, the Treasury Secretary, he will create three different groups that he runs, chaired by him. But it gives the power to these bastards. But let me tell you something. The yuppies, the soccer moms, the spoiled brats, the people that think beef just grows on trees and thinks, you know, all they know how to do is card worky, card no worky in an ATM. They are going to turn into howling mobs of demons. And the New World Order is going to point them at the Patriots and say, get them.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
If we have a Great Depression on the magnitude of what started in 1929 and didn't intensify for a full year, and peaked in 33-34... it will be a breakdown of society, but this has all been engineered by design. And we didn't just start saying that this year or last year or the year before. This has been the globalist plan all along. They do this in third world countries. Joseph Stiglitz, in late 2001, left the World Bank as their chief economist. He resigned. Then, over 2,000 pages of documents were leaked to the media. The BBC and a few others carried it. In there is the 100-plus part plan. It's 109 or 10. I forget the exact number. But it's a 100-plus point plan where they go into a third world country, they buy off the government many times in a few years. They tell them, don't pay it back, sign over your infrastructure, we're going to sell derivatives, we're going to inflate your markets, then we're going to implode them, and we want loss of confidence. You then get to retire, that is the thugs that run the country, who did the takedown operation for the New World Order, the central banks. They then move to Switzerland, New York, London. Those are the main cities. Or they get private islands in the Bahamas. There's thousands of private islands with private security, everything. And they move out, and the country implodes. And then, as part of the 100-plus point IMF World Bank plan, this was secret. It's public. Now, for 6 years, we're blessed to have it. In the 100-point plan, as the economy is imploding, first they pump up the currency, print a bunch of the currency, carry out a bunch of derivatives on the local stock market. The globalists then use that leveraging to buy up the infrastructure. Then, as part of the IMF and World Bank loans they're given, the country has to agree to only spend the loans with select Fortune 100 companies, which themselves are owned by the private central banks. So they just give the money back to themselves. Then agreements have to be signed once the nation starts imploding to sign over more and, quote, have a governmental bailout, which then gets that government in even more fiat made up fraudulent debt to the very bankers that set up the scam and bought off the government internally. This is so diabolical. Are you following me? Then, right when, and leading up to this, the controlled media in the country says the economy's okay, we just need to bail out, everything's all right, you know, the government just needs to issue more currency and more liquidity, and we have to hand over more of our national infrastructure to these private corporations that are owned by these private banks. But, of course, that's not told to the public. They're just told, we're handing things over, this will fix it. And then the media comes out, and they call it the IMF riot. And they even say, we create the riot scenario where then they have the president or the parliament and the leaders come out and say, it's over, we're going to have a depression unless you bail us out even further. So more is signed over to the bankers and more power is given. Then the bankers have now privatized the water, the roads, the fuel, the energy, the media. At first they use big government to get control of the economy. Then they sign it over in the next phase. And then they fully pull the plug and they stop delivery of food. They stop delivery of water. They stop delivery of gas, of fuel, Argentina in 1999, 2000. And within weeks, you know, middle-class families are starving in doorways on the streets. There are riots. And they call that the IMF riot. Then the police go out, ride them down with their horses, with clubs, with tanks. They shoot crowds of people in the streets. Then all confidence is lost. Any remaining banks that weren't owned by the globalists fold. There's runs on everything, and the markets drop to almost zero. The bankers buy everything else up, and then the nation is fully and totally controlled by the New World Order. Argentina, Guatemala, Brazil, Nigeria, South Africa. The list goes on and on, hundreds of them, scientifically done. And make no mistake, you can deny what I'm saying and not check into the facts I just gave you. You can say it's not true. It doesn't change it. You know, I talk to yuppies and businessmen and well-to-do middle-class people, and they still are in denial. They just shake their head. They act like me telling them privately and on the street. They act like I'm the one doing it because I'm telling him. Like that makes it reality if I say it. No. The New World Order did all of this. And denying it doesn't get you out of it. There is a way to defeat them. Do we have a big enough voice with this show and with our allies and with you, the listeners, to carry the truth to the people? Or are they going to win? We'll be right back.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave them kids alone. Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone. All in all, it's just a brick in the wall. All in all, you're just a
in 1815, the banking house of Rothschild was able to get control of the most powerful empire on the planet, the British Empire. It already had the most wide-reaching world governmental system in existence at that time. After it came, of course, the French, the Dutch, the Germans, the Spanish. And the Rothschilds were able to bankrupt England through that war, bankrupt Europe, then engage in stock market runs, which they engineered by putting out the disinformation that Napoleon had won the war about 8 hours early. They were able to get the word there to the stock exchange in London, whose companies controlled international corporations trading across the globe. Now the bankers had military power. They didn't just finance the armies against each other to get financial power. They didn't just finance the arms makers. They had control of the greatest empire the world had ever seen. And in 1913, after hundreds of years of trying to assassinate, in some cases succeeding and killing presidents and congressional leaders, they got their private Federal Reserve, their income tax. They federalized U.S. senators that had been appointed by state legislators to the Congress. And they started the task of consolidating the robber baron infrastructure, the railroads, taking control of the states and the territories in the West. They turned the United States into a modern empire, which the Anglo-American establishment set up as the world currency through the dollar at the end of World War II. They used our military, our tax money, to take over through neocolonialism much of Latin America, Asia, Africa, and areas of Europe. And the last nations to be brought down were the middle classes in Europe, England, Japan, and the United States and Canada. They systematically, this is all public, took down Argentina, which had the GDP per capita larger than the U.S., had a larger middle class per capita than the United States. They are now one of the poorer countries in South America. Ted Anderson just had his honeymoon there. Never been to Buenos Aires. And he said he saw just everywhere, even the nice parts of town, families that look just like Americans, living in doorways. 8 years after the New World Order brought that nation down. The Argentines bought into it all. National ID cards, national fare taxes, dollarization. They had the very same derivative bubble set up there, and they were brought down overnight. See, the bankers can create these trillions in fiat currency, but they need to trick you into buying into it, into going into debt. They need to get your government so deep in debt it can never get out. And now there is over $1,000 trillion, that's a quadrillion, in fiat currency. And look, I know you understand that. I know the general listeners understand that. But if we don't explain this to the general public, and if we don't get this on blogs and websites, and if other news sites don't succinctly report on this and explain this, we need to, I know it's on prisonplanet.tv, but we need to take that final chapter and repost it. And in fact, it was an article, a transcript we put together. Part of the article is IMF World Bank documents consume Argentina was the strange headline that Greg Palast gave it. He took a transcript a listener did of the interview he did here. For some reason, you know, he was reporting on, others reporting on, never got any global traction. He came on this show. He even wrote a testimonial about it. I didn't even ask for it. And it got published in over 500 newspapers from Italy to Japan to all over Europe. IMF World Bank documents consume Argentina. There was another headline put out under it, consume Venezuela with interest. I mean, no one 6 years ago had put together what the IMF World Bank said they were doing, the gunboat diplomacy. And how this works, if there was a leader in Guatemala or a leader in some other country in Africa who got control and said, look, we're not going to pay this fake debt back. And you can see the examples of where there'd be a $3 billion IMF loan, say in 1980, to, this is hypothetical, the numbers are similar, go look up the years for yourself. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was something like 1982, there was a $3 billion IMF World Bank loan to Nigeria. And they've paid back something like $60 billion on the $3 billion loan. I mean, what a fraud. And it's upwards now in compounded interest of over 30% a year. If you think the international bankers want you having a nice house and a swimming pool and going on three vacations a year and driving nice cars, being able to put your children in private schools, you know, lower middle class people could do that if the husband and wife both worked. And Americans got tricked into that back in the 60s. Oh, you want to live the really good life? No, now we can tax both the man and the woman. And then now you both work and you don't even get to see your children and the state's raising them. All scientifically engineered. And everybody's complaining and griping and saying, you know, I don't eat out anymore. And I buy the cheapest stuff at the grocery store. And I don't ever get a vacation anymore. And I work two jobs. And just 5-6 years ago, I was working one job and living better than this. And I make is more money now, but I can't live on it. Well, that's because you've had compounded 10% inflation on average for the last 6 years in a row. And that's top economist on the show. I mean, it was, you know, 6 years ago, it was only 7%, and then it was 8%, and then 9%, and then 10%, and then 12%. But you're averaging it together, it's about 10% in the last 6 years, compounded every year. Well, let me see. 5-6 years, depending on how you look at the numbers. 5-6 years of 10% inflation. What is that? That's 50 to 60% devaluation in your paycheck or in your fixed income on Social Security or pension. Now you see, but the media wouldn't tell you that. They would have headlines about it's a conspiracy theory that we have high inflation, and they'd have a nice guy in a suit or an info babe licking her lips and smacking them, looking at you, smiling, talking about how great things are up until about a year ago. And this is all just the organized collapse. This is all about the false story, the false download, the false hologram, as I guess Max Kaiser would put it, economist. This is the projection, as I would put it. Oh, it was some greedy white trash and evil minorities. That's basically what's being said. They lied on applications. Oh, really? That's less than $100 billion. That whole thing's less than $100 billion. It has nothing to do with the derivatives. It has nothing to do with all the instruments and the 1,000 trillion plus. But you need to, you see in the history books with what's coming, you need to know it's your fault. And they have lots of little corporate culture shills on radio. They love repeating what the bigwigs say. They love thinking they're in the know, and the yuppies are all crowded around the establishment thinking that if they just get behind all the bailouts and the parroting and the going along with the false paradigm, that they're going to be all right. They're going to be okay. Hey, listen, you're not going to be okay until you admit there's a predatory New World Order, until you admit this is a global meltdown of our economy meant to bring us into depression and rioting for a pretext for martial law, civil emergency, and for a re-monetization of the debt through the Amero, bringing in new markets to leverage new scams, and then finally into a New World Order global hegemon run by the Rothschild Rockefeller banking axis out of the city of London in London. That is the facts. Now, we told you for years that as soon as they started the implosion, the real implosion, which we're going to see very soon, they're just setting up things right now, that you would hear them say this. Oh, we've got some expert bankers. We need to have a world agreement because this system's going to, what's happening with the derivatives is going to bring down the world markets. Already happening. Euro's already plunging. It's inflated too. So a currency plunging is inflation. It's plunging in value. And then, oh, it's a global crisis. The central bankers are all working together. Yeah, because it's the same group of families. Less than 20. Really, only about 3 or 4. But there's a lower rung of power elite. They're all intermarried. It's like a breed we're dealing with. These people are all related. And they are now going to sack the world economy and then pose as saviors the entire time, granting to themselves world government power outside of governments. If you read all the proposals for world taxes and world regulations and world carbon taxes, which they now are saying publicly, it was only in policy reports decades ago, they're now saying, oh, we'll use carbon taxes and the green revolution and carbon regulations. We'll use that as a new market and a new growing market. And that's code to those that know. Except you have code on TV for those that actually are in the know, that are working with the system. But then for the dumbbells, they don't understand it. You know, a new market, a new financial system to expand into. That means to keep the leverage and going to a new bubble. That's what Bush called it, was a bubbleneck. He says, oh, everything's fine the last year and a half. We just hit a bubbleneck. And so now they're proposing their world financial system where the governments, England, the United States, Europe, Germany's already been captured a long time ago. Our governments already do what the bankers say. They already, when the Federal Reserve says jump, or the Bank of England says jump, the private banks, they say, how high, boss? How high, master? And they get the, you know, they get down on their knees and prostrate themselves. But now, even the illusion of having a government, the Congress, the president, the courts, they're rubber stamps, and through the crisis they created, they now fool the Congress through economic terrorism in the public. They're not even really fooling most of the Congress. They've all bought into it. They see it as a foregone conclusion to sign all the authority over to them and openly make the bankers government. Openly give them governmental power. We're seeing a revolution here. We're seeing something as big as the Declaration of Independence being set up. July 4th, 1776. But it's not a good thing that's happening. It's an evil revolution. I mean, these people are proud of themselves. This is conquering. This is financial, military precision. This is a scorched earth, total domination, global domination. In everyone's face, for all the world to see. And so what is the solution? Well, first off, no radio show tells it like it is, like this one, and has the momentum and the listenership, not just of the general public, millions every day tune in on the AM and FM internet shortwave satellite. Conservatively, it's over 2 million. But we have a lot of important people globally, in government, outside government, corporations, a lot of good people that are in the system that know it's bad and who want to come out, who are leaking our information and passing it around in the important boardrooms and government redoubts where they operate at great risk to themselves. We bring you the best guests, the most important information. We are the best chink in the dragon's armor, of where a few little scales are missing on his iron hide, their little pink soft belly. And that's what this radio show is. He's missing some other scales here and there. And more of his scales are falling off because he's crushing and attacking and dominating, and he's in war right now. He's getting hit by arrows and by catapults, and you know, he's crushing knights that come up to face him, you know, governments that threaten them. But still, you know, the dragon's bleeding, and there's this big open patch on the belly. And that's what this radio show is. And so I need you to tell your whole email list, your MySpace, everybody. That's why the government and their COINTELPRO and their disinformation officers pose as patriots and attack this show. Many of them admitted operatives. And then many copycats that are mentally ill and pick up on it or weak-minded, you know, were trained to infight with each other by the New World Order from birth. The point is, that's why they want to discredit me and attack me, because they understand that if they kill me, it'll make me a martyr. So they don't want to do that. I live a pretty clean life, so it's hard to set me up or discredit me. I've isolated myself from people, so it's hard for them to get their infiltrators in here. Believe me, they've tried. And so that's why you can tell this show is so effective by the fruits it bears and by the fact that it's so attacked. So ignore those attacks. Move forward, telling your email list, telling other people, calling to talk shows about InfoWars.com, about PrisonPlanet.com, the fact that the show restreams 24 hours a day, that now we post up there every day, the show, just to be played off of a flash player the full 4 hours. We're creating an archive of that. The video streams we do in the third and fourth hour, some days the whole show, some days part of the show. It's up to you to take the live feed we do. We don't even have the personnel. And re-jump it up to your own Justin TV channel. Or to the other channels that are out there. I mean, you can reach thousands each time just by, say, taking our live feed off PrisonPlanet.tv and then feeding it into another feed. And there's dozens of these services with tens of thousands that'll watch at any one time. You know, hitting it all virally, getting the information out. There's so many things you can do, but we've got to let the public understand this is a planned implosion that is so important. Our guest on in the first 5 minute segments. We're going to call him in about 3 minutes, get Andrew Gauss on air, and I'll go over some of his bio for you here. I'm going to go out there and get it off the printer. But a really interesting individual. Listen, again, not just myself, but so many people in the liberty movement, in the reality movement, individuals that have questioned the official reality and that's been proven to be a fraud and a lie by the map makers of the mind, the social engineers, the eugenicists. They're not just bad people. They believe you're scum and need to die. Do you expect me to talk, Mr. Goldfinger? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. I mean, that's what they're after here. It's a religion of disgust for the public, of hurting us. Look at the artwork the elites are into. I mean, by far, the dominant artwork is dead babies and maggots and piles of feces. And they pay, millions and millions, sometimes $100 million for it. Wait. A devil's skull actually went, I think, it was 99 million pounds. I'm sorry, over $200 million. And a bag of maggots goes for 4 million pounds, and they'll tell you it's about the worship of the filthy bag and the maggots. And you can laugh at me. If you're not aware of this, you just haven't looked into it. I mean, that's what they sell at Christie's and Sotheby's and these big auction houses, is bags of maggots or photos of mutilated children. I mean, this is beautiful to the elite. And they're giving you their taste. Watch TV. They've created the neural associations in your mind, showing you violence over and over again and laughing in association with it. Until now, when your neighbors are being killed or you're being killed, people will think it's funny. The young people go and watch all the movies like Saw and Hostel with young women having their teeth ripped out and the giggle and smirk and get off on it. So see, when it really happens to them in real life, nobody's going to care because it's beautiful. A dirty bag of ashes and dirt and maggots is beautiful to them. And they're going to turn the world into what they think is beautiful. And if you don't like it and try to resist, some men with black uniforms will drop by because they like death too. They're into the macho fact that you don't do what they say, they're going to kill you. Now, the good news is enough of those cops, children, and families are getting sick from the vaccines and the food to know we're telling the truth. So now they're growing up a little bit. Enough of the military has seen the evil to wake up. So they're kicking them out and hiring illegal aliens and aggravated felons. But that won't go over very well. So I want to make it clear to everybody out there. The people have heard us tell the truth for decades. They know the Patriot Movement, the Truth Movement, whatever you want to call it. The alternative media has done a great job on average. Our credibility is extremely high, and a lot of you were laughed at as you planted seeds years ago. Well, those seeds have now sprouted. Seed can sprout 100 years later. Seeds that were planted hundreds of years ago are just now sprouting, and seeds you planted a month ago are now sprouting. And so, speaking out, getting the word out, standing up against evil, standing up against corruption, now is having the biggest payback in liberty and freedom and minds unlocked, and we don't have a choice. The New World Order is not going to give any of us quarter. They are waging war against all of us, even those of you that serve them. That's most often even more so on you. And so I tell you now, you better not procrastinate and sit on the bench. A lot of people sit on the bench trying to figure out some perfect plan to fight the New World Order or some big fancy thing they're going to do, and they never do it. No, put simple things into form. One sheets with key websites and info about the New World Order. Print 100 copies of it and go out and put it on doors today. That's what's going to turn this around.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, it's the first time that he is joining us, but I hope it is not the last. I want to get him on a weekly basis with what's happening. I had read his book years ago, The Secret World of Money. And I'd read a lot of his writings, but I'd never heard him on air. And I heard him on Coast to Coast AM last week before the 30 minutes before I went on for 3 hours. And I was just totally blown away at how articulate, how on target, and how he puts it a lot better than I do, breaks it down a lot better. And I also went back over a lot of his predictions and what he talked about. This guy is absolutely on target. AndrewGauss.com is the website. Andrew Gauss is our guest for the next hour. I want to get him on for 2 hours in the near future, so we can take your calls. We may take some this hour. He's a currency historian, and we are just extremely honored to have him on. Then coming up later, we're going to have Peter Schiff, president and chief global strategist for a major investment firm, and he's Ron Paul's main advisor. He's going to be on with us as well as things unfold. We're going to have Dr. Paul Craig Roberts on later this week, and we're also going to have the New York Business School individual who's been predicting a lot of this, and Joseph Stiglitz back on, who we had on 2 weeks ago, Nobel Prize winner. But, Andrew, you've got the floor. I mean, break down. My listeners know the basics, and some of them more, but what's happening, the implosion, what the elite is engaged in, what's happening with the bailouts, and where you see us going in the future.
Oh, wait a minute, Alex. Before I go there, first of all, you, my friend, are, I can't even put this into words. Talk about my hero, man. You and your megaphone have done more good for this movement in the last 5 years than I have in 25 just beating the bushes. So I appreciate your kind words, but, man, I send them all right back to you, and I'm so honored to be here. I can't even tell you.
Well, so, we know you're a busy guy. You're all over TV, all over radio, more than ever, because you are on target. I mean, break down, talk to us like we're 6 years old, like the Governor Ventura said yesterday, for the new listeners, and then let's break down how we got here and where we're going.
Okay. Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Lead bank in a cartel, and I know your listeners are real familiar because you've done a great job of educating them. So you basically have 12 private banks that control the issuance of money in this country. But the one in New York has allowed for the creation of $3 in debt for every dollar in circulation. So they have created this time bomb, if you will, that's facing the United States today. I would lay it all solely at the feet of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, and I strongly urge Congress and the Senate to take over that institution.
Nationalize it. Keep going.
Yeah. I mean, it seems absurd to me that we're going to take $700 billion in Treasury money. We're going to write a bond, IOU $700 billion. Then we're going to hand it over to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. They're going to create $700 billion, hand it back to the Treasury, and then the Treasury Secretary is going to dole that out to the owners of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. What a big circle. If instead we nationalize the Fed and just take the $700 billion, put it right on their balance sheet, run it right out of the Treasury. A, we're going to save $35 billion in annual interest payments on the $700, and B, every bit of profit that they get from now on will go back to repaying this $10 trillion in debt that they've saddled us with.
Well, as you know, several hundred economists were in a story on Bloomberg last week that they cited, saying it's more like $5 trillion. That's the consensus. They're now saying it's $800-and-something billion. Now today. So from your research, what's the real number on the stick-up known as the bailout?
Well, I showed total assets, total debts outstanding of $45 trillion against a money supply of $14 trillion. That leaves us a shortage of around $31 trillion.
Now, by the way, that's a very conservative number. The Dallas Morning News said 4 years ago that it was $41 trillion.
Right. Now, using that metric, that magic expansion of money that they do, the $700 billion, they can easily turn into $7 trillion, which will allow them to multiply, actually, you know, every dollar 10 times.
Well, let's break that down, because, again, we have so many new listeners, hundreds of thousands every day, millions already on board with what's happening, but you've got a lot of ideas for solutions. Andrew Gauss is our guest, andrewgauss.com. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Historian Andrew Gauss is our guest for the next 55 minutes. And to go over his bio would take a few hours, but let's start over now, because a few stations just joined us. Tell us about yourself, your history, and then let's recap the basics of who the private banking cartel are, what they've created, what they're up to in this new system they're bringing us into. Go through that for us, sir.
Okay, you know, basically, I'm just a paper boy. I started delivering papers in the mid-60s when they took the silver out of our coins, and I started to notice the difference. Like, one of my quarters was worth 25 cents, and the other one was worth 50 cents. So I started putting away all the quarters, dimes, and halves that were made before 1964, and by 1980, I had saved enough money to put myself in business, and I've been doing that ever since. I started writing about how this all happens, because I found it fascinating. I was always taught that Constitution, no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt. I didn't understand how we were getting around that. So as I started to study the subject, it was like, Alex, it was like pulling on a thread on a cheap suit. You know, the more you pull, the more it just becomes unraveled. And that's really what led me to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. The Fed of New York is the lead bank in this cartel that was established in 1913. And using the reference of Senate Report 93-549 for you scholars out there, you can see that in the period from 1913 to 1933, the Federal Reserve did exactly what the charlatans before them did, is they printed more notes for money, gold and silver coin, than they actually had gold and silver coin to back them up.
And it's key to explain that early on, and I want you to go over this, because this is, you know, this is what you do, you're a historian in this. Early on, when they start issuing more currency than there is gold and silver, the public doesn't catch on, and so there isn't as much as inflation at first, and so they can print money and get real gold and silver, and then they can go buy real assets with it and then leave the public holding the bag. That's the key to all this.
Yeah, indeed, that was the model. Actually, we should probably start before the Federal Reserve Act. You know, in the 1870s, 1880s, guys would go out into the middle of the woods, and they would put, you know, $10, $20 gold pieces in a vault in a log cabin, and then they would issue 100 $20 bills, and anyone who had to try to redeem those bills had to fight their way through the woods and fight wildcats, hence the name Wildcat Bank. So this model of creating more notes than you had gold and silver and then using the notes to buy things before anyone realized what had happened, this was a tried and true model. And the Fed decided to simply nationalize this idea and to give us a uniform currency in the balance.
And they deceptively now, because they actually finance communism as a way to consolidate and enslave populations, we'll get into that later, to control the paradigm, a false left-right paradigm, now they're blaming capitalism and saying this is capitalism, when all this is a Ponzi scheme fraud.
Absolutely right. That's the best way to characterize it. Because using that same Senate report, you can see in 1913 and in 1914, if someone took a San Francisco Federal Reserve note and brought it to New York, the gold and silver coin would come flying over the counter. In those first few years, they built real confidence in the system. In fact, everyone thought we hit a home run because we didn't have any of those wildcat banks anymore. Now, you knew a dollar in New York was a dollar in San Francisco, was a dollar anywhere in the country. So they really brought stability and trust to the system, and it had been lacking for a long time. So for all through the teens, 13, 14, 15, 16, they were actually duplicating every bond that they had and sending an identical amount of money over to England so that they could prosecute that war over there, which Wilson kept us out of. In reality, the American people had no idea that this was going on, and we were given instead the Roaring Twenties. And that's why they roared, because as soon as the war was over, all of that money came back and started competing here at home for goods and services. This was when the fraud of the Federal Reserve was first revealed, and the banks responded by taking all of the gold and silver out of circulation, so that by the time the crash of 29 came, the only thing left were these paper notes, these Federal Reserve notes, without any means to back them up.
Now, again, that's key. They were able to use globalization to hide the fact that they were inflating the currency, not here domestically, but overseas. The same thing they've been doing now, but it's rushing back just like it did at the end of World War One. But this time, the crisis is many times worse in magnitude.
Indeed, the lessons that they learned from World War One, they applied in World War Two. And, you know, it was like a replay of the same game, only this time they were going to put into action what they learned, and that was that you could hide this inflation around the world if you could convince other nations to start using the dollar as their unit of measure. So out we went now into World War Two. Before we rush there, though, let's talk the crash of 29. They get Congress together in 29. They say, okay, what caused all this? Well, people kept going to the bank asking for gold. There wasn't enough gold. Okay, first thing we'll do, let's stop the people from asking for gold anymore. So that was the first thing. We're not going to make these notes redeemable for gold. Second thing, we're going to make the investment banks separate from the commercial banks. You either gather up money from rich people and invest in things, that's an investment bank, or you gather up deposits from regular people and make loans to regular people, that's a commercial bank. And one was never supposed to mix with the other. It stayed that way until 1999, Alex, and on the way out, Bill Clinton kind of signed that legislation that took down that barrier, and suddenly J.P. Morgan was buying Chase, and Citigroup was buying Travelers, and they started mixing these businesses together so that this dilution could occur without Americans realizing what was going on. Into World War II again. We come out of World War II, we're the victors. Instead of demanding reparations like everyone else did, we get together at a conference called Bretton Woods, and we say, okay, we're going to rebuild Europe, we're going to fix the world. There's only one thing we want from everyone, and that is that you price oil in dollars. And no matter where anyone buys oil in the entire world, it's priced in dollars. Now, this gave them that mechanism to create every time somebody pulled a barrel of oil out of the ground, they were free to create the corresponding amount of money. And to this day, 80% of all the world's trade is conducted in dollars, and that enables them to hide the inflation overseas. And I'll tell you, those foreign investors are getting sick of it. They're starting to disgorge themselves from dollars, and that won't be pretty.
Now, again, some people will say, well, yes, this is a fiat system, and the elite banks did it, but look how good it did for America. This country, before we had this current scam being nationwide, had 10% growth rates on average every year, not 3% that they call roaring. And that 3% is really negative if you count in the real inflation, not the cooked inflation. But the big problem is it gave these predatory banking families unlimited power to buy up everything and create monopolies, which they've now done.
Yeah, I always go back to that Jefferson quote on that subject. He said, if we ever allowed banks to control the issue of our currency, that they would set up corporations that would eventually deprive us of all of our property. And that's exactly what they've done. If you look at the money that they've taken from the banking system, money that they've created out of thin air, and then bought every critical industry, and they started with the newspapers, they ended with television, and they bought everything in between, all the critical industry in the United States, anything that manufactures, anything that creates money, casinos. You name the manufacturing industry or the industry that creates or gathers money, and it's infiltrated and controlled by the same people that own and control the Federal Reserve Bank.
And how could they not take over when they control the issuance of currency and credit and when they regulate themselves?
Exactly. I ask people, if I gave you the power to write checks that no one ever has the power to cash. They only have to accept them as money. How many would you write? When would you stop? I would just might get writer's cramp from buying things.
Look, if I had that power, I would own Austin, Texas in a year. I'd come to a house and say, what do you want for your house? Well, the house is really worth $500,000. I don't want to sell it. I'll give you $1 million. Sold.
Sure.
I mean, it is just unlimited. And now, really since the 80s, but since the mid-90s, since they knew they were going to just go from fractional reserve to unlimited leveraging, they went to flat-out corruption. CIA, Delta Force, coming in with bags of cash, buying off local government officials, because they know the collapse is coming, and they plan to use a police state to protect their system and make sure they win.
To enforce it. Yeah, you know, one of the things that I bring up that highlights all of this, really draws it home, is that if you had a dollar in 1980, it's best expressed as a fraction. It's 1/1 trillion. And by 1995, the total supply of money had grown from $1 trillion to nearly $5 trillion, so now your dollar was 1/5 trillion. Today, there are $14 trillion in circulation, so your dollar is now 1/14 trillion. You can see the progression there. There's 14 times as much money in circulation today as there was in 1980, and then claims for 3 times that amount. That's what's causing this freeze-up right now. So, in reality, the dollar of today is worth 1/45th of a dollar from 1980. That's got to be reflected in prices, and that's why I think the wave of inflation that's coming is going to make all the others look pale.
Well, mainline economists and historians like yourself, they come on the show and they all agree. And really, it's the majority of real economists agree. They just don't get put on TV as often as the people that are, quote, wrong. They're not really wrong. They're just lying. They're not stupid either. But they all come on and say, this isn't going to look like 29 inflation. Or the Roaring Twenties inflation, this is going to look like Weimar Republic.
Right. It's actually going to dwarf Weimar Republic if, in fact, all of those debt claims are turned into money. And this is the key here, is at what level the Federal Reserve decides to monetize this debt or turn a debt instrument into a current dollar. And it is that lack of oversight. You know, this is my main criticism of the Fed in New York. We might not be able to abolish the Fed. We might not be able to regulate it, but by God, we can sure take it over.
And that's the drumbeat we need.
Yeah, man.
Because if we're going to, quote, bail this out, which is really just signing over dictatorial power to them and being suckered even deeper, well, then why shouldn't the government own it? But see, the public still thinks the Federal Reserve is the government. So we're going to talk to monetary historian, just an amazing individual, more on history and where he sees things going in the future. What should happen versus what they're going to do.
Is it getting better?
You can get to a site by going to andygauss.com or andrewgauss.com.
Do you feel the same?
Gauss is G-A-U-S-C.com. Put links up on Infowars.com for everybody. Okay, I'm jumping in a lot here. You've covered some of the basic history. My big question for you studying these people is, from the IMF and World Bank documents I talk so much about, and Stiglitz, and their past history in third world countries, what we see here in the Western world and the United States and Japan appears to be done by design to consolidate, because we know they've done it in the past. We infiltrated Bilderberg Group almost 3 years ago. They said they would start the implosion by restricting loans in subprime to blame it on the public. And so we've been on target with that. So really, I know they're orchestrating it. The only question is, are they losing control? Because I have seen some of their people in the Financial Times of London come out and say, Andy, that this is so big and that they were so greedy that it's even endangering the central banks themselves. From your expert opinion and research, what do you say?
Absolutely. In fact, the Federal Reserve of New York has been using its balance sheet. Now, for the listeners, because Alex, I know you understand this, and it's so refreshing to be on your show, because most times I talk to radio hosts, you're right, they think the Federal Reserve is a part of government. You have a handle on this, so it's so much easier to talk to you. Reality is that the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, every time it takes a treasury bond from the treasury, it adds it to its balance sheet, and then it gives the treasury the corresponding amount of money. So over the years, they've built up a pile of about $700 billion in Treasury notes that they keep in their vault. Now, these notes they've been exchanging for the last 17 months in exchange for these bad debt instruments to kind of force liquidity into the system. They have diluted their balance sheet at the Fed of New York so badly that now, without this bailout, if they continue to do this, they'll be broke. And the Fed of New York would go bankrupt.
So this is a real crisis even for them.
Indeed it is. This is why they're asking for this bailout. Now, I have sources inside Washington myself, and when Henry Paulson came out of the meeting after Congress voted down the bailout, he had to be physically supported. He was weak at his knees. Now, this type of reaction you usually don't see from a person who's been through as many battles as Henry Paulson. So I think your argument has a little bit of weight there because they're worried in every circle, not just at the Fed of New York.
Now, last week, AP and Bloomberg, as well as Reuters, reported that there was $940 billion given out at the Fed open window.
Right.
That's separate from the $700 billion, or were they leveraging that? Where is
is that all separate
in bonds?
That is separate. That is separate infusions into the money markets that they were making based on debt instruments that people were turning in. But in addition to that, they were swapping Treasury bonds for toxic debt through this auction term facility of theirs. I think they did 250, 125, and then 250 at the beginning of the year. So this is something that separate and distinct from these discount window operations.
Was that Reuters headline accurate, though, when it said $940 billion pumped out into the banks in 1 week, or was that a misprint?
No, that was accurate.
Good
I mean, that's the extent of the problem. And bear in mind, again, how close $980 billion is to $1 trillion, right? Another $20 billion and we're at $1 trillion. That was the total supply of money in 1980. So in 1 week, they added enough money into the system to duplicate all the money in existence in 1980. And that acceleration is exponential.
What about this corporate culture by even low-level people who've been trained to laugh and giggle about this? I still have, when I'm say, doing a radio show out of another studio, one of their financial guys will come by and laugh at me. And then he goes on air and says, everything's fine. We've just got to bail them out. The Federal Reserve's good. It's federal. I mean, they've got to know they're lying.
Indeed. And there is an entire culture there that does laugh at the public. If you listen to some of the Enron traders, for example, you'll get the mindset that these guys had. You know, they were giggling while the entire California coast was suffering rolling blackouts. They thought it was funny that they had caused all of this. So, I mean, the cynicism that permeates this system is the result of easy money. You know, anything easy is not worth anything. And so this loss of respect for human existence is all at the root of this. It is the result of all of this easy money.
We're going to break long segment coming up for you to talk plenty and get into more detail. We're also going to be taking phone calls for our guest, Andrew Gauss. Here's an example. I'm driving into work this morning on 360, the whole highway shut down except for one lane, and it takes me 20 minutes extra to get to work. And when I finally get up to the cops, there's like 10 cop cars sitting around, and they're just talking, blocking a lane, bugging their eyes out with hatred at the public, staring at them. Again, it's just mental illness, folks. Mental illness. We'll be right back with our guest.
Way up north,
to Alaska.
Way up north.
We have currency historian, economic expert, Andrew Gauss on with us. The website's andygauss.com. Okay, I've brought up a lot of my questions, made a lot of my points, gotten your take on it. You know, looking into your crystal ball, because you've been pretty good at predicting things so far, where do you see things going in the next month, 6 month, year? What do you think the establishment's going to do versus what you think is the best course of action?
They're going to try to control hyperinflation, obviously. The runaway inflation is one thing that they don't want. So they'll put the $700 billion into the system much the same way that you give blood to a patient IV. You know, you drip it in. You don't just rush the whole $700 billion in at the same time. In doing so, they're going to create tsunami waves. You'll see a wave of inflation followed by a little retraction, then a bigger wave of inflation followed by a little retraction. And these ever-growing waves will continually wipe out the purchasing power of a generation, not by accident either. These 85 million or so baby boomers that are retiring and think they're going to spend their 401ks or their retirement money are going to see that the dollar that they worked hard for and put away is going to be worth about 60 cents in 2 years. And that's really what I see, a slow, steady, controlled inflation that will decimate the purchasing power.
Now, and that's on top of what it's already lost.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I mean, I'm talking 60 cents of today's dollar, which is, you know, it's already 15 cents based on a 1980 dollar.
Well, here's an example. I had Governor Jesse Ventura on yesterday, and I said, what do you think of the bailout? And he said, well, I've just lost a bunch of money myself in, you know, my investments. And he said, gee, I don't trust them, but, you know, if it'll save things, maybe I'd be for it. And he said, but overall, I don't trust them, so I say no. So his instinct was right, but he admitted he just hadn't had a lot of time, you know, to study it. But the point is, he kind of is more than the average person, but a good window, you know, into an upper middle class individual. And I hear these people saying, from I don't know to I'm against it to the extreme of you're basically a treasonous traitor if you're not for this, and this is going to save my 401k. And this economic terrorism that we've seen that I've never witnessed before, the president, the secretary of the treasury, others, Democratic leaders saying, if you don't do this, we will have a depression. Well, if that isn't yelling fire in a theater, if that didn't drive the market down Monday evening, its biggest one-time loss in history, $1.2 trillion, $1.2 trillion. I mean, comment on the economic terrorism and the illusion that the public's being sold that you better do this bailout or it will kill Main Street, because even in the midterm, this is going to kill Main Street with inflation.
You're right. And, you know, those that fail to study history, doomed to repeat it. If you look at the bank wars, Andrew Jackson was basically making the same charges against what was then the Federal Reserve, the second bank of the United States. And he said, you know, if you vote for me, I'm going to kill this bank because it's bad for this country. And the bank's people kept saying, oh, no, if you go with Jackson's plan, there's going to be a depression. We're going to contract, and it's going to be awful. It's going to be terrible, the same type of economic terrorism. They overplayed their hand, however, by actually delivering on their threats. And then pretty soon the American people said, wait a minute, that's exactly what Jackson said they would do. And in doing so, they lost the battle. So if they overplayed their hand in this instance, I honestly think the American people would have stood up and pressured the Senate a lot more than they did. Unfortunately, they have us snowballed. They have us believing that if we don't do this, we're going to all suffer. And so as a result, great many Americans are calling Washington and urging them to do something. They don't know what to do, but they urge them to do something. The senators and congressmen are interpreting this as, hey, they want us to vote for the bailout. But no one has presented an alternative plan. If we just look at this from simple mathematics, Alex, we'll see. If there's a $700 billion bond issued by the Treasury, then that means there's about $35 billion in annual interest payments due on that bond. If we take over the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, we can eliminate that $35 billion in annual interest payments. So just from a pure economic sense, it makes perfect sense for us to take over the Federal Reserve Bank of New York as our number one supplier of debt.
Plus, it's the private Federal Reserve that engineered this current architecture. So why, after we catch the weasel sucking the blood of 14 chickens, are we now giving him the job of security guard?
Yeah, watch the chickens. Precisely, as I've put it, and every ball field in America, three strikes and you're out. When the Federal Reserve did this from 13 to 29, those guys should have gone to jail, but they didn't. When they crashed the housing market through the S&L crisis in the 80s, that was their second strike. They should have gone to jail, and they didn't. Now this is their third strike, and I say we stop talking about bailouts and start talking about bail amounts. You know, how much are they going to have to pay to get out of jail? Because that's the only thing that I think is relevant now.
And by the way, let's specifically talk about what they've done that's criminal. They didn't just go in and change the laws. They've clearly, throughout the entire banking system, engaged in falsely certifying junk as AAA, in insider trading, in conflicts of interest. I mean, it just never ends.
Right. The credit default swaps are a perfect example. Here you have a hedge fund that comes out and says, okay, we're going to issue a bond, and because we're a new hedge fund, we don't have any capital, the bond is rated BBB. Now, no one's going to be able to buy that bond. No one's going to be able to buy it because it's low rated. No pension fund will buy it. No bank will buy it. But suddenly, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York's owners decide they're going to convince an insurance company to co-sign that bond, a credit default swap, saying if they default, we'll step in and make good. Suddenly, that bond is AAA. Suddenly, you've just bypassed the regulations that were put into place to prevent this. If that's not a violation of the letter of the law, it certainly is a violation of the spirit. They knew full well that that hedge fund was at more risk than they could handle, and they allowed the deal to go through. Imagine going to your local banker and trying to borrow money, and he looks at your balance sheet and says, oh, no, you can't do this because you're going to have more debt than you have the ability to pay. That's what they're supposed to do. Not once did the Federal Reserve Bank of New York stop Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, UBS, JP Morgan, Citigroup, Deutsche Bank, Hong Kong, Shanghai, these are all their owners. They didn't stop them from issuing these debt instruments. Had they done so, there wouldn't be $45 trillion in claims against $14 trillion in money. So it was their dramatic lack of oversight that created this crisis, and on that basis alone, they should be put out of business.
But we have worldwide the just trillions upon trillions unknown. They're all being secretive because of all the crimes they've committed. I don't think any amount of, quote, bailouts is going to quote, save the structure. It's only going to prolong it and deepen it. So again, what do you see happening in 6 months, a year?
Hyperinflation. BIS report, I don't know if you caught that, that showed the total derivatives market outstanding at the second quarter of this year was $596 trillion. So never mind 45 against 14, $596 trillion. If they have to put that much or even a tenth of that into circulation, if they have to go to 50 trillion from 14, that's going to mean anything that costs you a dollar today is going to cost you $3 a couple years from now.
Well, there's no secret of no one knows, but like you said, 500 and something trillion. A lot of economists we have on say it's more like 1,000 trillion. How many times is that more than all the true assets and wealth in the world?
Well, you couldn't do that calculation. It is at least quadruple all of the known financial assets. So it's four times all of the paper assets. But you start talking physical assets, you know, how much is a person's real estate or house worth? I doubt that it could ever be repaid.
But again, this is total fraud. This isn't real, but they've got the regular Army brigades, according to Army Times, coming to the U.S. They say it's for civil emergency. Bush put the John Warner Defense Authorization Act in place, which says it's for martial law and suppression of the people in the bill that passed years ago, 2 years ago. I mean, it's all happening. They clearly are behaving as if they know that they're only trying to stall long enough to get their grid in place. And then I guess they come out on top in the road warrior scenario, and they're talking about then failing forward into a new world banking system where those that engineered this pose as the saviors and set up this world regulatory banking system and then start a new bubble out of carbon credits or something. Can you comment on that?
A carbon tax, yeah.
Yes.
It's a perfect system if you consider the end result is that they want to have the single currency in the world be the dollar. And if you look at world trade now, I mean, you know, I've gotten into these debates with colleagues who feel a lot like you and I do, which is they already control this game. They're already firmly in control. After World War II, we established all the central banks of Europe. The Bank of Japan is an outpost of the United States Treasury, the Federal Reserve Bank.
But we know the elite don't have total control until the middle class is gone, until we're all drooling on Prozac. And the elite says that. They want us dumbed down and slaves.
Well, Well, you know, the biggest wealth owners in this country is that baby boom generation that started working right after World War II and raised their families, worked hard for the last 30 years, and managed to combine savings of $800,000 to $1,000,002 on their $30,000 to $40,000 a year salary. They scrimped and saved and put away this mountain of money. And now these guys, these 85 million baby boomers that are retiring, will have their entire wealth, talk about the middle class, reduced in value by two-thirds with the stroke of a virtual pen. So in a span of 24 months, they're going to be able to wipe out a lifetime of savings by the most prolific generation that we've seen in 150 years
but
in this country.
The private banks own and control the corporate propaganda channels. It's not even media. And they're on there saying, depression, if you don't do this, it's over if you don't do this. Imagine if they told the public the truth. We're taking two-thirds of your savings. We're devaluing your investments and your dollar. We're destroying your retirement and your future. I mean, people think the public's already mad. They're going to be hopping mad. And so here's the $64 million question. It used to be the 64,000, but now with inflation, 64
inflation.
Million. What is going to happen a year or two down the road when the yuppies find out that they were screwed and this was a setup?
Well, we're going to be yelling at the greedy oil companies and the greedy car dealers and, boy, those nasty people at the grocery store raising their prices. The last person we'll point a finger at is the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. And I don't think our Take Back the Fed movement will be successful. I believe they sneer at us, like we said in the last segment. They look down upon us, and they are so blatant now. They don't even put on a good con anymore, Alex. They used to hide this stuff. Now it's just so out in the open. I'm reminded of what Carol Quigley said. And my colleague Matt, who incidentally wears an InfoWars bumper sticker on his car,
awesome,
like a badge of honor, drives it around New York City, flashes it in the cops' faces. He's one of your stalwart soldiers. He says, Carol Quigley's book said, when the velvet glove is removed from the iron fist, maybe then the people will understand. But until they come right out and in your face tell you they don't care what you think, then the majority of Americans are going to act like the sheep that they are, lead themselves to be sheared, and gladly grow some more fur for the next cutting.
Unbelievable. And they're doing it. They are doing it right now. But I am heartened that polls are showing 90-plus percent, even with the financial terrorism and fear-mongering of do this or else, that we call the public sheeple. They figured out that pretty much anything the media says is a lie or spin. And so it is going to, I mean, I agree, the media is going to blame the shopkeepers and the car dealers, if any of that even exists. But I think it's going to break down even faster than that.
Well, you could be right, and I'll tell you, with you and your bullhorn and then your soldiers like Matt out there spreading the word, more and more people are catching on. I'm just afraid it's too little, too late, because the bulk of Americans are all shareholders in the Federal Reserve System. You know, the percentage of Americans that actually own tangible money, gold and silver coins, and you're talking 1 or 2%. The other 98%, while they may even be against the entire system, they still keep 100% of their wealth tied up in the Federal Reserve. So they're nothing but shareholders in the system. I suggest if people really want to make a difference, they need to start force-feeding their Federal Reserve notes back into the system and taking out what the Constitution defines as money, and that's gold and silver coin. Once they start doing that, Alex, there's no way to stop it.
All right, let me bring that up now, because that was one of my next questions, and I want to tell folks about all the great information you have on your site and books and materials, because I want people to check it out. It's very impressive and totally on target, really cuts through all the minutiae and gets right down to the facts. Already, you can't get buffaloes. The U.S. Mint is saying it can't get gold to make coins. Kitco is sold out of most of their coins. You can't find gold really anywhere at spot anymore. Silver is running out, but artificially, the central banks admit that they are suppressing the price of metals. But I don't even see them being able to suppress this more than just a few months. I mean, it's already gone up somewhat. So I wanted to ask you, I mean, about that, because we're already running out of gold and silver right now with just a fraction of the public getting wise. The moment even just a few more percentage points of the know-it-all yuppies figure out they've been conned and try to get out of their banks and stocks, there is going to be no gold or silver anywhere. Can you talk about that?
Indeed. Front page of the Financial Times Network yesterday talked about that very issue. And what we're seeing is a disconnect between the physical market and the paper or electronic market. And while you can buy all of the physical gold that you want and pay a premium above what it would cost you if you were buying electronic or paper, that spread is just widening every day. Now, there's a handful of smart guys out there, and in fact, one of them sponsors your show, that puts stuff away for their clients ahead of time. And that's what you need. You need dealers who lean against the wind. When everyone's selling, they're buying, and then when it's time to buy, they're ready with inventory to sell. So you might have to look a little bit, but there are sharp dealers out there who still have inventory. I know we loaded in a position, and I'm pretty sure Midas did as well. So you can get stuff if you go to the right source.
Absolutely. Midas Resources, in fact, has gold at basically below what it's even selling for now, and they've got it. It's just that local coin dealers in Austin are sold out or very low. I go to other places. I see reports in newspapers about gold and silver sold out in shops all over. So definitely the smaller dealers are really having a lot of trouble, and only the bigger dealers and people that have a lot of sources are able to get it. How high do you see gold going in the next 6 months?
Well, our model shows gold peaking out at 1,600 in the next 6 months before we are in a sell mode. So we're still buying with both hands, and I wouldn't be a seller until gold hits 1,600. On the silver side, triple. I think silver has to hit $34 an ounce before I'll be a seller. So until then, I'm buying.
Well, isn't gold performing in the last 7 years at like 30%, and the stock market is losing money?
Yeah, you're right about that. If you look at just a seven-year window, you'll find gold probably outproduced every other investment except the most speculative and risky. And the best part of it is that once it's in your control, it's almost impossible for anyone to do anything to dilute the value of your money. That is your money now. All you have to do is protect it. But, you know, if there's a catch to everything, the catch to this is when you take physical possession of gold, you have to protect it. You have to guard it like it's cash. And most Americans aren't willing to accept that responsibility. So I think you still have a window. If you haven't accumulated any gold or silver yet, you have a little window here before the rest of the consuming public figures out what's going on.
But, boy, when they do, look out, ladies and gentlemen. Andy Goss is our guest, and we're going to come right back with our final segment with him on the other side and take a few calls from Tim, Charles, and Ben. Stay with us.
The preacher man says it's the end.
All right, I should have gone to your calls earlier, but just got into all these questions and discussions with Andy Goss. Really appreciate him joining us. Let's go ahead and talk to Tim in Georgia. You're on the air with our guest.
And the stock market.
Hey, Alex, when you said about when Ventura said, explain to me like I'm a 6-year-old. When I'm trying to get people to wake up to the Federal Reserve, I'll use the analogy. I'll say, hey, I'm the bank of me, and you two guys have banks, and I'm the Federal Reserve, and I loan you $100 at interest. I loan you $100 at interest, say 10%, and now you guys owe me $210. Where does the $10 come from? And nobody can answer the question. And I think the answer is you have to borrow it in the circulation at more interest. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, they never create the interest when they create the money, and so that creates a constant demand for money that's greater than the supply. That's what gives these worthless piece of paper value in the first place.
And that's what gives them so much power.
That's right.
This is a parlor trick, folks. This is a parlor trick.
So without interest, they don't have their magic bullet then.
That's right. If you took away the interest and just started issuing money without interest, pretty soon the worthlessness of it would be quickly revealed because there would be more supply than demand.
Exactly. Look, the Wizard of Oz was a popular anti-banker play that went all over the country for decades before it was made into a movie. That's
right.
All about the little man behind the curtain, the Yellow Brick Road, the Emerald City. It's all about the fraud.
Mm-hmm. No question about it.
That little analogy enables me to challenge people on their base paradigm there, and then nobody can tell you where it comes from.
But
then
see, then we have the financial minions right down to the locals who all think they're part of the system. And see, it's an inside joke. The guys on radio and TV, they're laughing at you. I was watching CNBC yesterday, and they're there like con artists, you know, giggling and smirking and winking at each other and smiling at you through the teleprompter. I mean, it's about suckering you. It's such a big, disgusting joke. Your comments on that, Andy?
Yeah, well, here's where I get traction on the Federal Reserve. I point to their 47 Learjets and their $300 million art collection with a full-time curator to take care of it, and the fact that all of this is done without appropriating money from the Treasury. They simply create the money to buy this stuff. And for that reason alone, they should be forced to come to Congress for appropriations every time they want to spend money instead of being able to just spend it out of thin air. I can even get the most hardened MBA company guy to agree with me on that point. Once you got them there, it's easy step from there to nationalizing the Fed.
That's right. People are in a self-imposed mental prison. Let's talk to Charles in California. You're on the air with our guest. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Appreciate everything both of you are doing. And just wanted to talk a little bit about the future plans of the dollar and all this. Like, where are we heading? And when do both of you think it is?
Okay, you heard it. The next 2 years are going to destroy another 60% of the dollar's value. They've already...
In fact, Alex, you know, I have a package. It's entitled Protecting Your Wealth. It's an audio CD and a booklet that explains where I see this thing going. I haven't offered this to anyone, but to Alex Jones listeners, if you'll call and say you heard it on Alex Jones, I'll send you this package free. 800-468-2646. You'll get an audio CD and a booklet that will explain to you how to protect your wealth in the coming times.
I'll give that number out again.
800-468-2646. Mention Alex Jones, or they're going to be looking for $29 out of you. So Alex Jones gets you this package, Protecting Your Wealth, audio CD and pamphlet, and 3 issues of my newsletter.
All right. It's a great newsletter. Anything else, Charles?
Yeah, before they set up the Federal Reserve, a few years before that, didn't they do a little bit of manipulating? Didn't they somehow bring a some kind of depression or some kind of
panic of 1907? Panic of 1907, Knickerbocker Trust, started by J.P. Morgan, gave us the Peugeot hearings, suggested the Aldrich Plan, brought us the Federal Reserve Act.
And they're doing the same thing now with an even bigger global banking system. They create the crisis and then pose as the savers and get more power. Andy, thanks for coming on with us.
Yep. Alex,
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
This is from the Associated Press. U.S. Mint suspends sale of gold buffalo coins. Many other headlines that are similar. They have suspended the sales of that coin and placed major limits on other coins. That's new coins being issued because they don't have the gold. That's because in the real market, it costs a lot more than what's going on in paper. And every day, it's widening. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these are some of the most gorgeous coins. Coming up is George Butler in studio to give us his perspective from military intelligence and business and as a realtor on what's happening with the economy here in Austin, Genesis talk show host. That's coming up in about 5 minutes, but I want you to understand, the only reason you're hearing this deal is because I wanted to get a few buffaloes a month ago, and I told Ted I wanted some. I only buy a few coins here and there a month. Sometimes I can't even do that. Trying to convert a few Federal Reserve notes into this as backup. And he had trouble getting it before they suspended sale. But Ted got a hold of some limited supply. A limited supply, and he's got them at a very low price. These things are selling at 20, 30, 40% premiums right now. They're a gorgeous coin. And it's one of the latest coins that the U.S. Mint's putting out. You cannot get this coin hardly anywhere. And they're selling at huge premiums. He's got some other coins. You know, now even the francs and the British sovereigns are selling at premiums. But Ted buys when the market's going down so that he can offer it to you at a discount. But understand, this is a limited time with these buffaloes. First come, first serve. Ted, tell them about them.
Yeah, it is actually very limited, and I do have them available right now at 920. When you asked me to go out there and find them, I mean, there are people that wanted over $1,000 for these things. A very limited supply. You can get them right
now. Two are mine.
Yeah, $920, and you know, if you want them, call us at 800-686-2237. The franc coin is an interesting story. I was talking to my dealers. There is no francs out in the United States. That market is pretty well dried up. My supplies are coming in from Europe. And
folks, don't be stupid. Use opportunities when gold is sitting there, not going up or down. Use it. You are nuts if you don't. Ted, tell folks about some of the other offers, not just the Buffalo.
Yeah, sure. The Buffalo is a great buy, but the francs are right now available at 190. And I also have the British coin, that British sovereign. Currently, right now, that coin is at 234. Either one of those are a wonderful buy. The Buffalo is very limited. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to just, my brokers are watching the numbers on them as they go. Once they're gone, they're gone. And, you know, I'll be lucky to get some more of them if I can, but it's very limited. But if the smaller coins are better for trade anyways, and you can get a lot more gold.
See, there's Ted's instinct. He don't want to sell you this collectible coin that they've run out of, and the mint's running out of other coins and limiting sales. He's trying to give you the better deal. I'm just telling you, these are gorgeous coins for people that want something that is just gorgeous and that is in such demand you can't even get them. Here it is, 800-686-2237, but you better call right now, because they're not going to be there. But you heard him. The francs are drying up. Some of the sovereigns are drying up. I mean, these are mainline, bullion coins that are drying up. It's all over the news about gold shortages, silver shortages, but the elite are trying to suppress the price. You can see the criminal activity going on right now, ladies and gentlemen. Protect yourselves from this inflation while you still can. I mean, I cannot believe stronger in this. Just like I say, have firearms, be self-sufficient. Don't send your kids to public school. Folks, get gold and silver. They've got just great deals right now. Buy while the market is sitting still. Don't wait till it explodes past 1,000. 800-686-2237.
No question about it. I mean, that explanation of the Federal Reserve System, and of course, we've been working on that for how many years with the Alex? I mean, how many times have we talked about that creature from Jekyll Island book? I mean, right now, you need to get out of those Federal Reserve notes, and you need to get into gold.
And Ted, you're also still offering that deal of a silver dollar that I know cost you about 13, 14 bucks a piece. No, I should pay 20 now for a silver dollar. I heard that ad running. Are you still offering, if you buy the creature from Jekyll Island, getting a free silver dollar?
You absolutely get a free silver dollar, and the silver dollar is worth more than the book. We charge $19.95.
I was about to say, folks, that's insane. 800-686-2237. Ted, I want to come back for 1 minute with you, and then George Butler.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
In studio with us for the next 52 minutes is George Butler. I might even keep him a little bit longer when Peter Schiff, one of Ron Paul's top financial advisors, market advisors, joins us in the fourth hour today. I will continue with calls later in this hour on the economy at 1-800-259-9231. We are streaming live right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. That'll also be archived for PrisonPlanet.tv members, as it is each and every day. Don't forget, we have the free podcast now for about a year and a half at InfoWars.com with the whole show every day to your MP3 or iPod. Now with over 80,000 people downloading that a day and growing. So that is also exciting. I wanted to go back to Ted Anderson just briefly. Ted, I wanted to get your comment on the financial terrorism with the Federal Reserve. Ted Anderson, of course, at Midas Resources, watching the metals commodity markets closely there on the inside of it. I mean, this was so clear, terrorizing the public, the Congress saying, if you don't pass this, there'll be a depression. They say no Monday, 4 days ago. It plunges $1,200,000,000 in one day, terrorizing the public. The president's plunge protection team didn't prop it up that day. And then the public, it still isn't acquiescing, but the Senate passes it. The House set to pass it today or tomorrow. Ted Anderson, your take on that.
Oh, yeah, it probably will pass tomorrow. When it does, just hold on to your hat, because there's going to be so much new currency coming into the system through that Federal Reserve System. All that money is being printed from thin air. And to bail out who are they bailing out? They're bailing out the member banks that have the risk here. They're basically saying one more gash into the taxpayer to solve.
Yeah, they know it's going down, and they're going to try to set up a world banking system with world laws out of that. Again, they pose the crisis, then they pose as the saviors and offer the false solution.
Alex, a world banking system would be the ultimate way to collect labor from the entire world, and they've been doing that to us here in the United States since 1913. And it's just crazy that we let this come along in the first place.
Well, that's what the New World Order is. It is a global corporate takeover of the world's energy supplies, finance, the food systems, everything.
It's the biggest form of serfdom there is out there. We will become their slaves. We'll be working for them, and they will produce nothing, and we'll be turning over our production.
Well, here's the bad news. There's not enough gold and silver for the general public of the West to protect themselves. But the good news is, because we can't help that, the good news is at least our listeners and people that are informed know that they still have time to get into gold and silver and other metals before it's too late. Because once the people find out about hyperinflation that's already with us but going to compound now, there won't be enough gold and silver, and the price will be so high, most people aren't going to be able to afford it, because we're going to have a depression and a deflation in jobs and the amount of money people can get at the same time while prices are going up. Stagflation. So stag hyperinflation. Stagflation was invented by the bankers in the 70s. I guess we have to call this stag hyperinflation. I can't think of a worse scenario, Ted.
Yeah, you got joblessness right now, and you also have printing of money. The two of them goes together, you're going to have if price inflation unemployment's going to go up at the same time. That's crazy. I mean, the people are just straddled. The people that are getting hurt the worst are the people that have been saving all their lives, entering into the retirement age, and they're not going to have any value left in their currency. And what are they going to go to Social Security? There's not enough money there. They dope the figures. They're not going to.
But not just that. They won't even pay you for the cost of living increase from inflation.
No, they won't, because they'll go off the CPI, and the CPI is a doped up figure that's not even real. Everybody knows that.
All right. All right. Well, Ted Anderson, again, I bet in 5 minutes you've already sold out of those buffaloes. I
would call right away. If you're interested in those buffaloes, I would call right now, because there is definitely not a lot of that to go around. Also, right now, you're talking about that Creature from Jekyll Island. That book is $19.95. You get the silver dollar for free. Right now, you're paying $20 for silver dollars, so it's a great buy. I mean, if you want
to... 800-686-2237, and to get that, tell them Alex Jones and Ted Anderson sent you. 1-800-686-2237. Folks, it's a win-win-win-win-win. And the margins here are so small, but it supports the network, makes this show possible, lets Ted hire more board ops. He just got an even better Star Guide satellite for stations that didn't get the notice. We're switching over to that in a month. We have both Star Guide feeds going right now. It allows you to get gold and silver at incredibly good prices. Win-win, win-win-win, because Ted buys when the market's going down, so when the market's going up, he can pass on those discounts to you, and you can get the Creature from Jekyll Island that I know sells for like $24 in bookstores. Ted's selling it for $19.95, and you get a free silver dollar. You can't get silver dollars for below $20, so that is basically a free silver dollar. You cannot beat that. $19.95 for this Creature from Jekyll Island, the history of the banking system. You may know all about it, but your neighbors, your friends, your family don't. So you get the book to give to somebody, read it yourself, and then give it away, and you get the silver dollar. You get a free silver dollar. I don't know how you're offering that, Ted. 800, may not after this show with me plugging this. 800-686-2237. Ted, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me up, Alex.
You bet. Okay, shifting gears, and I'm going to keep you a little bit in with Ship if you've got some questions to George Butler. George Butler has a Saturday evening show here on Genesis, and I've known George for years. George Butler, so much is happening, so much is going on, but you're also a longtime real estate agent. I know you're involved in brokerage as well, because you brokered a deal on another office we leased. So I want to talk about the overarching banking infrastructure, but then the real economy on Main Street, Austin, the supposedly wealthiest per capita city in the country, the best city to live in. Rated the last 4 years consecutively, still the best, but we see restaurants I've gone to for years are closing. My wife went to the mall yesterday to get some prescription glasses. No one was at the mall. It's usually jam-packed at that time. We're seeing, in this city, supposedly the best, I know some other real estate agents, and they say the market's dropped about 20%. The media isn't really covering that, but they said in the jumbo loan and the million-dollar houses, which are four bedrooms in this town, the price has gone up. People are refusing to sell, and they're refusing to lower their price, but nothing's selling for months. So I want to talk about Main Street as well from your perspective. George Butler, good to have you here.
Yeah, thank you, Alex, for being inviting me here today. Yeah, Main Street is being affected in a way that that was predicted by many. I think you predicted some of this, along with Ted and others over the years.
Well, I didn't predict it. The bankers said they were going to do it to us.
Yeah,
I just said, oh, the enemy's declared war.
Well, you started announcing it early on. Though that we would be put into some kind of a depression or some kind of a severe recession. And so you were at the forefront with other people. But we're seeing now that credit lines are being audited by some of the largest banks. The Chase themselves are auditing out in El Paso. I have some contacts out there. And they got back and they said, well, the loan would be two or three weeks later than possibly they could make right now. So they are stalling on some of our loans right now.
I mean, we see the credit markets shutting down to a great extent.
Yes, the mortgage loans in Austin, Texas. Austin has been an exception to the rule up until now. And I've noticed in the last 3 to 4 weeks, I've been getting all 3 to 5 times as many emails from realtors, and everyone is reducing prices right now. Now, that figure you threw out earlier, the 20% or so forth, we saw a reduction over the last year of 20 to 30% in prices, but in reduction of sales themselves. We saw a rise of about the same amount in number of listings. We saw a decrease in sales themselves of that much, but the price has not been weakened until just recently. We've seen the last 3 to 4 weeks prices coming down more so than we've ever seen before.
And you're a realtor. Keep breaking down those numbers for people, what that means. And supposedly the best city in the country for real estate and business, we're seeing a sudden plunge.
Yeah, when Austin started being affected, and that's what I'm saying, in the last month, I would say, we were starting to really be affected. And the million-dollar houses and so forth were first affected when we first went into this over a year ago. And now we're seeing it move into $100,000, $200,000 houses that are, we're getting emails daily. 5 to 10 emails from different realtors saying reduced here, increase of commission here, and so forth. And so it's having an effect right now in probably one of the premier real estate markets in the country, which is Austin, Texas.
What does that mean to you?
Well, we're going to see. I've been through this tight money. We call it a tight money period, and that means credit is going to be not easy to get. We rely on some well-heeled private investor to make some of our loans. So we're outside the normal mortgage market in some of our transactions, and so we do take some of our mortgage business and sales to private individuals. That's one way to deal in a market like this without depending on the existing, the traditional credit lines.
Now, going from Main Street to the larger perspective, give us your perspective, you know, living a while, seeing markets go up and down, similarities with this market to old downtimes, and then anything different you're seeing this time.
Well, here is different. I think the financial terrorism, which y'all have set out very well in detail, is something I've never seen before. We've had down declines before and recessions and so forth before, but we've never had these pronouncements, especially by the president, when the president started threatening about pension funds and things like that. Now, one of the precursors to this was about a year ago, a main investment manager, I think it might have been Goldman Sachs or one of those companies out of New York, approached our teacher's retirement pension fund. And it was about in April of 2007 that they decided to give that investment company $30 billion out of the Texas Teacher Retirement Fund. And the article, the way they portrayed the investments, they said these would be more risky types of investments. And I'm sure that they meant derivative types of investments that they invest in. That was
$30
billion.
That's right. We've had looting of state and federal and private pensions. We've had them change the laws so companies can do that. And so you've also had a quiet shift into that area.
Well, mark to model is what they've been using to estimate a future value of a derivative. And they're using an algorithm And they can concoct any algorithm they want to project into the future. Enron was using the same technique.
Well, let's talk about that. What's the public going to do when they learn that it isn't just the bailouts, that they've already sucked your police, firemen, schoolteacher pensions dry? Stay with us. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., we're here live, and we restream the show for 20 hours till we're back live at InfoWars.com. If you're listening to us on an AM or FM station, those are wonderful affiliates. Support their sponsors and tell people at red lights, at the grocery store, at church, about the local station, whether they carry us live during the day or rear us at night or both, or carry the show on the weekend. I have a lot of affiliates that do that as well. Be sure and support those sponsors, ladies and gentlemen, because they are solid gold in the fight against the New World Order to really reach people. There's a lot of ways we are reaching out. George Butler is a real estate agent, also a broker, and he has been working in it for a long time. We were getting into pensions, and that's a whole area I haven't really gotten into during all this. They have already sucked those dry, come in and paid off local politicians, put that into their banking system, then leveraged it out. And, I mean, any way you cut it, it's going to be a depression or a mega depression. On the good end of depression, on the bad end of mega depression, they're calling in U.S. military against the American people. I mean, I can't believe this is even happening. I mean, I intellectually knew they were setting up for it, George, but to see it unfolding, continue with the pensions.
This is a prime example here. The teacher retirement system takes a hit on Lehman Brothers stock holdings. This was reported in our local American Statesman by the staff. Robert Elder wrote this article. U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission filings show that the retirement system ramped up its holdings starting in March when Lehman stock was trading near $50 per share. At the time, the system held about 1 million shares. The retirement system then went on a buying spree, raising its stake to 4.3 million shares by June 30th. During those 4 months, however, Lehman stock fell below $20 per share, a 60% drop. They are hustling these retirement funds into the hundreds of millions of dollars, and in some cases, billions they stand to lose.
All over the country and all over the world.
This is just right here in Austin, Texas, and the teacher retirement should be raising hell about how these funds have been invested on their behalf.
Remember,
they got into too risky investments because the derivative thing needed to be fed.
Remember Orange County alone 5 years ago when hundreds of millions of dollars got sucked out and then they found it was, quote, risky investments, they were derivatives? Again, that's why they then started sucking other pension funds dry, was to try to pump that bubble up. And no amount of pumping will fix it. All it will do is steal your investments and devalue your currency.
Exactly. What they've done is use this mark-to-model accounting method. Now, that is one thing I think that in this bill that they're trying to get back to a mark-to-market system of accounting versus a mark-to-model. The mark-to-model enabled these pension funds, I mean, these investment funds and mutual funds and Lehman Brothers and so forth, to use a very esoteric accounting method to project into the future what they thought that those derivatives would be worth. And I think they're just revising the models just to stay solvent now.
Now, while we talk about what's happening in the international banking centers, you know, the finance markets and the finance economy, meanwhile, again, here in Austin, I am seeing the economy contract fast. I mean, it's like an overnight effect. I mean, restaurants that 6 months ago I could never get into, you know, because I'd be at work and say, I want to go eat at this, you know, restaurant, and it would always be too full to get into. Now, I went to one of these restaurants a few nights ago, and it was about half full. I mean, we're seeing an immediate effect.
Yeah, when you're saying a credit expansion has a multiplier effect because it puts money into other people's hands, they in turn spend the money and buy and put in investments. Well, the opposite is true when you have a contraction of credit, and that's what we're experiencing right now. And the contraction does create more of a dynamic of contracting, just like it would on the upside.
George, we've seen this whole police state being prepared, gearing up, the government saying they're doing it for financial panic years ago, while they carry out the financial operations they know will bring it to fruition. What does your gut tell you when this is really going to start breaking loose and get so bad that it can't be ignored?
Well, I think you probably have a better handle on that than I do. There have been reports of bringing some units home from overseas that would do street. You and Mike Hansen did some wonderful videoing down in Kingsville, and I think you tried to do some in San Antonio. But did they not resist that?
No, they came and put guns to our heads and took the video.
They did. So y'all had a forewarning of some of this. All I can say is that keep your ear to the ground and listen to some of these units that the National Guard and some of the reserve units and active Army units should give us some advance notice, but I don't think it's going to be much.
Well, they've been saying now it's admitted what we said a decade ago.
Yes,
they're saying, no, we are here for you. We are here to engage the American people.
Well, they have been training in regular Army units and National Guard units. They've been training for riot control and crowd control and civilian unrest and riot. And those guys I saw in St. Paul were terrible. Those Darth Vader uniforms.
Oh, that's right.
And they were mean-spirited, too.
You and Richard almost got arrested a few times when they would just arrest whole peaceful crowds. Let's briefly talk about that when we get back. And anything else you want to cover, George, and then take phone calls. Ben, Robert, Rick, and others.
Okay, fine. I think we made that video available to you just recently.
Fantastic. All right. We'll be right back. Stay with us after this quick break. In fact, I'm going to skip this break. I'm going to skip it for InfoWars listeners. Yeah, let's continue behind the scenes with just the web folks watching and for folks listening at InfoWars.com on those streams. What's some of the other stuff you want to talk about?
Well, you bring up a very interesting subject, and not only are we caught up in the dynamics of everyday living and surviving and trying to discern you could say navigate our way through these changing events, which are tumultuous and very wicked and very dangerous, but the delusional aspect of this is always there. And you've been touching on that recently, and I think your insight in that area, I think, is very good.
Well, I'm going to get your insight, because I know you've studied psychology, but people are in willful denial. Businessmen,
yes.
I know, wealthy people I know, upper middle class, and then just average folks. I'll say, hey, what do you think about what's happening? And they're like, I don't want to hear about it. You know, I know about your show, and I don't want to hear negativity. It's not negative. I mean, if your leg's broken, you got to fix it. And so there's this, the establishment is being encouraged to carry this out because they know the public has been put in a catatonic state.
Yes, that state is one that is one of comfort. It's just psychologists and even pop psychologists have described it as a comfort zone. They don't want to disturb that. You bring some things to them that it's upsetting to them. It makes them unhappy. But they need to wake up and start confronting exactly what you're saying. And you have in your style, I'll say that, you've hit them right between the eyes. You wake them up.
Well, I mean,
because sometimes that is the best method.
Well, there's different ways for different people, different strokes for different folks. You know, many different ways of thinking make the world go round. I just hit people from the honest perspective that I'm freaked out by this, and I know history, and I know what's happening currently is nightmarish. And so that's why I get so upset. But, you know, the folks that are smooth about it, like yourself, or low-key like Ron Paul, that's also very effective. And I also want to talk about the fact that we've laid this out and made these predictions, so now people are actually listening.
Yeah, your credibility has soared because you've been saying this for years, and then people said, oh, that's just a bunch of bull, and now they're saying, uh-oh. And they're coming in and back to you and listening to you and supporting you now unlike they ever have before.
But, I mean, not just myself. I mean,
well, everyone in this area. But really, the alternative to media, you've been at the forefront of many, and 9/11 for sure. You're the founding.
We're going to come back to the full audience, and let's go through your take on the comfort zone, the cognitive dissonance, people staying in that little bubble, and they don't want you to come into it. Let's get into what it'll look like if we do have a true breakdown. And there's already gas shortages, already banking problems. We're already seeing it. What would a depression like 29 look like? And then we'll take some phone calls and. And first, because we said before we went to break, first let's get into what you saw in Minneapolis-St. Paul for the RNC as an eyewitness briefly, and then we'll get into the psychology and then take phone calls. Here we go, back to the main audience. Peter Schiff, one of Ron Paul's main economic advisors, and Ron Paul's gotten international awards for economics papers himself from von Mises and others Institute. So this is a quite expert, and I'm read a lot of his papers and seen him on international and national television. So Peter Schiff, his maiden voyage with us coming up in about 27 minutes. I do want to get to your phone calls at 800-259-9231. But I tried to get Richard Reeves in here, who's on camera work for us and who's driven us in D.C. and Dallas and at some other events. But he just said, why don't you just have Butler on? And so I was meaning to get you on about that, but then all this financial stuff happened. But just in a nutshell, Reeves told me you guys almost got arrested repeatedly. The police were clearly targeting peaceful crowds. In a nutshell, what did you witness at the RNC in Minneapolis, St. Paul?
Well, I began to witness it not at the as close in. Richard went right in there with my camera and got some footage that was unbelievable. But I saw it from a little bit further back. But there was the Darth Vader riot control, and they encircled before the speeches were over, and right in front of the state capitol of St. Paul, the state capitol of Minnesota, they encircled the whole crowd. And I said, oh, my gosh, what are we in for? And it was hell getting out of that circle once they encircled us. But Richard went right in and waded in there and got right close in. And at the very end, we went back to find the last remnants of that of those demonstrators. We found them parked on the Marion Bridge, surrounded, handcuffed, and they'd been pepper sprayed, surrounded by EMS vehicles, and the police were celebrating this great victory, eating little Twinkies or whatever, and drinking Coca-Cola. You know, I mean, they were really, you know what I mean, they got a kick out of subduing these peaceful demonstrators.
And then lying to the media and saying they were violent, showing a few videos of anarchists who they never arrested, who had some witnesses, and this has been reported by mainstream media, said anarchists would come from behind the police line, bash a police car window out, and run back into the cops. Now, they've been caught provocateuring, and police have been caught dressed up like anarchists before. Did you see any of that?
That Richard went in on Monday. We didn't get in there until late Monday evening, and I was only part of the demonstration on Thursday. But Richard was in there, and he escaped through a parking garage. He has quite a story where he ducked out of the crowd and they were encircling them and getting ready to arrest the whole bunch.
That's right, and he reports the stage deal.
And he went through a building and it led to a parking garage and they weren't covered. The police had that not covered. And he got through that parking garage out to the outside of the circle. But on Thursday, I ordered him out of there, okay? And I told him, I said, Richard, I see him coming in. I was outside the circle at that time, and I was safe, so to speak. And I said, Richard, I order you out of here, period. You get out of there now. You know what I mean? And he said, yes, sir. And I'm a little older than he is, so seniority worked on that. And he got out. And you know how he got out, Alex? He walked out with some office workers that had still been behind the lines, inside the encirclement.
Because for those who don't know, they just arrest everybody.
Yes, and he walked out with them like he was part of the office worker group, and they let him down.
And that sends the message, don't be part of protests. Don't come out to events.
Exactly.
Don't engage in your First Amendment, your right to assemble. And if the feds have to, they hire these anarchists. In some cases, the anarchists do it on their own. And I'm not saying all anarchist groups, but you know, clearly the ones that are doing this. Any other points from the RNC?
Well, the mesmerizing inside, we saw Palin speak on Wednesday and Thursday evening. I was sitting there, and there was one person in that whole auditorium that did not stand and did not clap for McCain, and that was me. I would not, because of what I know about the gentleman, and especially the POW problem of not going back and getting our POWs back.
Well, it was just all mass mind control.
Yes, exactly. It was this cult of personality that was operating on such a scale that it was overwhelming to me.
It's the same thing.
Depressing in a way, but to see that many people go for this.
Losing their minds.
Yes. Just go, you know, crazy because they want to jump on the power wagon.
Oh, listen,
right?
I'm hearing neocons calling to shows, and they go, oh, she's still a genius. It's a trick when she acts stupid. She's going to show them tonight. And no, we're not saying we're for Obama, folks. We're saying it's cult of personality with Palin and Obama.
Yes, both
sides. These men run nothing.
Both sides. They did it in Denver and they did it in St. Paul. And it's cult of personality and they've got everybody mind-washed and going for the big deal.
All right, speaking of psychology, you've studied this.
Yes.
A lot of the public's breaking out of their box and then they engage in financial terrorism and some went back into it. But Congress is afraid of being blamed for a depression, so they're going to probably go along with this and then all the other fleecing that's going to go on that will devalue the currency in your pension funds. But I mean, just briefly, the psychology of people that live in denial, I know they buy into a worldview, and then they will defend that worldview no matter what all the evidence shows to their own detriment. Can you speak to that psychology?
Yes, I can. What they're actually supporting is the false self, and we've moved away from that at birth, and we've been fed by our families and other people that are suffering in the same mode, and it's a mode of delusion. And
it's play acting is what I call it.
Exactly. And that personality, that identity of who we think we are, is a false self, and it's fed by what's wrong in the world, not what's right. And I maintain that forgiveness can bring you out of that and establish a greater objectivity, and non-judgment and forgiveness of self and others can create a dynamic that is awakening. It's awakening dynamic.
That's right. A lot of people, and it's very complex, but just to simply, put a little feeler into this whole delusional system. People think if you're warning them about something, that they're doing you a favor even listening, and that somehow you're trying to show off to them. Because they're so self-centered, they've been trained to be self-centered, they can't imagine someone would have an instinct to want to warn them and help them. I mean, it's sick.
It's sick, but it's also frustrating at times, is it not?
Oh, very.
I mean, yeah. You have a heart that wants to help people in such a powerful way that when they don't respond immediately sometimes, it can be frustrating. But we're all frustrating. But patience is love. And that's the hardest thing. It only takes a little time to learn it. Because it's a thing that takes time for sure, mainly. And that's patience with one another. Because humans are not like light bulbs you can turn off and on. It takes time to work with them. And people that have been turned off of you 5 years ago are your friends today.
Well, I mean, that's why I don't get mad at people. I just feel sorry for them, and I try to warn them or show them something. And if they disagree, that's fine. But if they get that weird, self-assured, grin on their face of like pleasure and so what, or you tell some yuppies, hey, they're going to take our existing roads we paid for and give them to a foreign corporation, they'll just laugh and say, so what? Like saying so what gives them power over it.
Yeah, there's an arrogance there, but it's not the real self that's speaking. It's this false glorified self that's interacting with you. And that's really the cause of warfare, is where we have these abstracted selves fighting with abstracted selves. They're not real identities. It's a conjured up construction. It's an imagined identity of who people think they are.
No, I know. You always talk about that. Yeah. And it's very strange when you lose more and more of that. And then the people take my aggression and my fury as an ego-driven thing. It's the opposite.
I know it is.
It's an instinct-driven thing out of basic survival. But so many people... I mean, I remember being 3 years old. I talk about this a lot. And I was out on the back porch by myself playing, and I was a superhero jumping on and off the back porch. I remember it was Batman or Superman, and it was a sunny day, and I had this huge, like a thunderbolt hit me, and it said, you're play-acting, you're not really this superhero, and you're not the whole world, you are just a tiny spark of life for a short period of time. It wasn't a child's thought, it was like this whole download, and I realized that I was, just this little flotsam and jetsam on the sea of humanity and time and thousands of years and everybody that had come and gone and those that were going to come in the future, and it wasn't crushing, it was liberating. And then my whole life I realized that other people are still playing dress up. They're still imagining. They're still, that's what trinkets and baubles and signets and symbols are all about, is like you said, this false template. Unconscious people.
Yes, you have a connection to reality that not many people have.
Well,
no, you see it, but because you have this connection and your studies over the years of the world system, then you can see how evil that it really is.
Well, the elites are self-actualized, though. I mean, the elites also are conscious and understand in a mechanical way, but it's very cold with them.
But when you see it at the depth and you see the beast to the center. I mean, to the depth that not many people see it, and I see it in the same way, okay? But it's upsetting to us to see it like that, and then trying to reach out to people, and they're not responding like we want them to do sometimes. It can be frustrating.
Absolutely. I wanted to get into a few other issues, but let's go ahead and take some calls. Well, before we go to calls, any other issues you wanted to bring up?
Oh,
I know you've got hundreds of things here on the computer to talk about.
I've just brought up that we've still got the bail out, and they're talking about a rescue bill now.
Are you going to be watching the Palin?
Yes, I will.
Biden?
Yes. Palin comes from a very religious background, and so that's where, and maybe a Dominionism, perhaps, of taking a religious thought and trying to enact that into law. That's basically that idea.
Well, she certainly uses that as a front to get support.
Yes.
I think with her, it's just like a beauty pageant. It's all completely fake, but that she's bought into it.
Well, you know the coverage that you gave on Georgia, the response that she gave about the Russians was totally off the wall.
Well, she said we need to go ahead and have war with
them. I mean, that was...
She said we need to have a war with Russia.
That is totally, gosh, I can't describe...
Let's go ahead.
Worthy a comment that was.
I meant to do this, and I'm going to do it not to make fun of her, but to illustrate that literally. First, let's play Miss South Carolina, where she just throws out a bunch of mishmash stuff, terms she heard, has nothing to do with the question, and you watch Sarah Palin, and as long as she's giving you some fake conservative line, it sounds eloquent, but she's reading off a teleprompter, folks. Okay, and then they make a big deal about, oh, the teleprompter broke and all this crap. She had written prepared. I mean, this is all about, oh, look, she can talk on her own. My God, this is so amazing. I mean, all these people are reading prepared speeches. Now, when she does get an interview and people say, well, what about the Bush doctrine? They say, oh, well, that's a liberal media trick to make her look dumb. That's, you know, that's too complex for her to know. Well, no, the Bush doctrine is preemptive war, global government, torture, evil. But, you know, she just totally. But John, you have that clip of her on Katie Couric. Let's play that second. Let's play Miss South Carolina first. Here it is.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
And by the way, she's a genius compared to a lot of people. You talk to men and women now. They don't even know what states are. They don't even know what different forms of government are. And I mean, it doesn't give me any pleasure, like I'm some smart guy. See, the globalists and their minions, they enjoy the ignorance of the public. They revel in how people are dumb. They enjoy conning. They think they're part of the system, though they're being crushed too, most of them. But then those of us that do care and understand that what comes around goes around, and that we can't be a free society with all this idiocy, we're just horrified at this. And you try to talk to somebody like Miss South Carolina, and they're everywhere, they will just arrogantly snicker at you and, you know, shake some baubles at you, some bling, and say, look, I have bling, I have booty. Now, let's go ahead and play. Now, listen how similar she is, Sarah Palin, with Miss South Carolina. Here it is.
You've cited Alaska's proximity to Russia as part of your foreign policy experience. What did you mean by that?
That Alaska has a very narrow maritime border between a foreign country, Russia, and on our other side, the land boundary that we have with Canada. It's funny that a comment like that was kind of made to, reporters.
Mocked?
Yeah, mocked, I guess that's the word, yeah.
Well, explain to me why that enhances your foreign policy credentials.
Well, it certainly does, because our next-door neighbors are foreign countries. They're in the state that I am the executive of. And
have you ever been
Russia.
Involved with any negotiations, for example, with the Russians?
We have trade missions back and forth. We do. It's very important when you consider even national security issues with Russia, as Putin rears his head and comes into the airspace of the United States of America, where do they go? It's Alaska. It's just right over the border. It is from Alaska that we send those out to make sure that an eye is being kept on this very powerful nation, Russia, because they are right there. They are right next to our state.
In fact, I sent you a bunch of clips, I know, last week, John. That's not the one. It's the one where it sounds just like, I sent you a bunch. I should have, a week ago when I sent it to you, I knew the clips, but I sent you too many. That's not the one. There's another one with her where she sounds just like Miss South Carolina. I'll find it on YouTube and play it. And, I mean, she's just like, eh, ooh, eh. And then we do it in the trade, and that's how we friends and helping. John, you've got some more Sarah Palin clips, right?
You're pretty good at that.
I'll pick some up.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was actually, you know, I mean, not good, but you know, made up. I mean, but that's
we got the airspace. We got the border there. We're going to go across there. We're going to invade Russia.
Well, we can find the clip where she said we need to attack Russia.
Yes. Now, that's dangerous. That's dangerous.
No, it doesn't matter. And the point is, we're not saying vote for Barack Obama. It doesn't matter. In Travis County, we don't have voting. It's been proven to be a fraud. That's how serious these bankers are. Let's go ahead and talk to Ben in Virginia. You're on the air with our guest, George Butler.
Hi, Alex. How you doing?
Good.
I was one of the protesters in D.C. that you actually put up on your website on Monday. I just wanted to say that, you know, this whole bailout bill and everything else, it's so clear now, and people are so angry. While I was down in D.C., I actually saw a tourist, a lady who was just there touring the Capitol, screaming at House representatives, you know, asking them, why are you robbing us? Why are you doing this to us? And people are so angry right now. We just need to find a way to tap into that.
Well, I agree, and it shows that the people are finally starting to wake up and are not. I mean, again, when Congress has a 9% approval rating even before this, it shows that both parties are now hated. People realize both parties are in bed together, and they need a woman, a good looking woman, or they need a handsome, articulate black guy to make it look like it's new and different because it's not an old white guy. But that's it. It's skin color and gender is the only difference with these people.
Yeah, I think the more protesters we get out in D.C. in the next couple of days, the better, because I got on the front page of MSNBC. You know, I know other people who have been able to infiltrate the news, and basically, the more active you are, the more it shows that we don't want this bill. It doesn't matter if they try to cover it up. You can tell all your friends. Everybody will know. That's what it comes down to.
Absolutely. Anything else?
Thank you very much.
All right, I appreciate your call. I am busy here trying to find the particular clip I sent John where it sounds just like Miss South Carolina. I mean, she is just... she is just babbling incoherently. Well, everybody's seen it. The clips have been everywhere. All right, we'll come back and take some more phone calls for our guests. In fact, I want to take the calls. We're going to skip this break, too, on the internet at InfoWars.com on those exclusive streams and on PrisonPlanet.tv so we can keep taking your phone calls and get them all in before this hour ends. And our next guest joins us, Peter Schiff, financial advisor to Ron Paul.
A day unlike any other.
Okay, I'm going to skip this break. Let's go ahead here and go back to the calls. Let's talk to Robert in California and then Rick and Paul. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, first a little bit of news. I was watching Channel 4 out here in California, and they quoted Barbara Boxer saying that she received over 95,000 calls, and 89,000 were against her voting for a bailout, which is about 94% of the people against this.
Yeah, that's what the scientific polls are showing, 93, 95, Monday, and then most of the polls have been about 91%. There's hundreds of them. You can pull them up. But over 90% are against it, even with the $1.2 trillion terrorism when Bush said it'll be a depression and they plunged the market when Congress said no.
Yeah, and let me ask, does anybody understand what is going on today in the market with the downturn of almost everything? Is that a reaction to what happened in the foreign markets, or is this just something they just can't control anymore?
Well, look, the we are a debtor nation, and in early 2007, the United States went to its highest level of private debt ever. It's higher than during the Great Depression. That's an official number. We have a negative savings. It's below zero on average. And so the bankers then, the Bilderberg Group, said, now pop the subprime, begin the implosion. So that's why we know it's a controlled implosion. They claim it's so big it could endanger them, but they initiated it. And so as soon as they said, okay, they're now debtors, they pull the plug on the credit. And so that is what has happened now. And you can slice it any way you want, but the architects of our financial doom are the ones now reaping the benefits of it, and Main Street is coming to a halt. The economy is on the skids, even in Austin, Texas, the supposedly best city in the country to be in. And, I mean, in places like Michigan and California and other places, it is bad. And devaluing the currency is only going to make it worse down the road. So, but that gives the bankers more power. Anything else?
Yeah, and the real estate market. You know, I've recently purchased some property out in Arizona, some undeveloped land that's bordering state trust. Am I in, like, danger of them creating a road or anything through there?
Well, I don't know exactly where it's located, but they are stealing a lot of land, hundreds of thousands. Well, it's actually over a million acres in Texas and all over the country for international highways that are actually international zones. And under international law that are international, that's how the New World Order is going to tax. One way is carbon taxes. The other is international roads that are internationalized and privatized that then tax the host slave nations. Thanks for the call. I did find a bunch of the clips of Sarah Palin sounding like a babbling idiot.
I don't know. You know.
Reporters.
Mocked. Yeah, mocked, I guess that's the word, yeah.
Well, explain to me why that enhances your foreign policy.
Man, I tell you, that clip is a completely dirty one on the air. Before we leave, I don't think we're ever leaving the studio. I need to get the this line fixed here. Point is, I'll find it. John, I sent you about 8 clips last Saturday of her, and I think it's the first clip I sent you is the one, but I guess you didn't save that. So let me trying to play them here from Texas.
If you send them, they're saved. I'll look at it.
Let me just hear some during the break. I'm going to play this. I should have played it when I first sent them to you, and I never got around to it because there's so many of them. I want to find the particular one. Let's go ahead and take another call. And George, pop in any time here. Up next here is Rick in Texas. You're on the air, sir.
Hi. What's the background of John Cornyn? I know that they both voted yes, Kay Bailey, and I know she was a reporter in Houston, but can you tell me a little bit about John Cornyn, please?
Well, he was a state judge and involved in all sorts of neo-connery. He's just another fake conservative, another stuffed shirt puppet for the New World Order. I mean, most of these people you see are nothing but fish lures. I mean, I don't have conversations with purple worms at the sporting goods store. And I don't have really conversations with Kay Bailey Hutchins and her Cornyn. I mean, if you've got some outside House members that are good people and aren't controlled, like Ron Paul and a few others, we interview those. But talking to a Cornyn or they're nothing but bait for the public. They run nothing, do nothing. They're just total puppets. They're called cutouts. You want to comment on Cornyn? You know, we're right here in Texas, George Butler.
Well, I believe he does have some kind of a Navy background also, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, the point is he's just a nothing puppet who runs nothing, does nothing, and they really hate that when you point out they're just nothings.
But I think he's got a strong tie to Clear Channel, I believe, communications also.
Yeah.
I believe.
Well, what does it? They took the UT Permanent Fund to buy all that up, and then they handed that over. Again, they take everything. It's just everything. You know, universities are big into football now because that's all they really do. There's not much education, not much teaching. You know, they double, triple tuition. They're state run. They're supposed to be free for citizens because they, you know, the oil and gas in Texas take UT, and it's a cutout. It too is a front. And 90-something% of their actions is owning businesses and industries and taking your money out of the country. Anything else? I mean, why do you bring up Cornyn, Rick?
Oh, I think they should go to jail.
Yeah, but see, they run the jails. They own the private prisons. I appreciate your call. You know, and they got a bunch of brainwashed cops, just like the public. Don't worry. The cops are going to lose everything they got to. You get to share in what you brought down on us. Don't worry. You can laugh and smile all you want. You'll get what you need. Don't worry. Paul in California, go ahead.
Hi, Alex. I'm one of the organizers of a micro power station here in Berkeley.
Good job.
We play some of your stuff on the air, as well as, you know, a lot of the folks that you air. And there's one question I have for you, and that is, I like the idea of nationalizing the Fed, but unfortunately that puts the government in charge of it, and I suspect that they would be just as greedy and corrupt as the people that are running the Fed right
now. No, we need to take it over and point out it was a criminal organization and put the Fed directors in prison, as Ron Paul, the congressman, called for on the air here last week. People should get that article and get it out to everybody. You know, we need to have that idea first in our minds so we can do that. But no, we grab it, we monetize the debt, we arrest all these people, we throw them in prison after a jury of their peers finds them guilty, and then we go hunt down the New World Order worldwide and bring them to justice. And then we, get rid of 2 million of the 3 million cops, let them go get real jobs again, and we decriminalize drugs, let the nonviolent people out of prisons, we start arresting real criminals, and if your car gets broken into, your house gets robbed, the cops are going to do what they used to do, put their nose to the ground and go off and do police work, and they can go back to getting pie and coffee and being loved instead of hated. Be right back in 1 minute. Stay with us.
Thank you for listening to GCN.
Right.
Be sure to visit GCNLive.com.
We're not going
to
cut feed. We're just going to cut audio for a second. Get rid of 2 million of the 3 million cops, let them go get real jobs again, and we decriminalize drugs, let the nonviolent people out of prisons, we start arresting real criminals, and if your car gets broken into, your house gets robbed, the cops are going to do what they used to do, put their nose to the ground and go off and do police work, and they can go back to getting pie and coffee and being loved instead of hated. Be right back in 1 minute. Stay with us. I want to take a few final calls right now with George Butler, our guest, who I want to have back in the near future. I think I'm going to have you and Bob Dacey co-host when I'm out of town sometime, if you'll do it. The two of you together. No, I think that'd be a nice dynamic.
Bob's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a smart guy, So are you. So I think that'd be a nice mix. 4 hours is a lot to do for any one person. I think the two of you mixed together, and then I think would be great. But... So we're in here running George through his paces. He's got a show Saturday nights on Genesis. Find out at GCNLive.com. We've got one of Ron Paul's chief advisors coming on, Peter Schiff, here in just a few minutes. But right now, let's go ahead and talk to Scott and Anthony and a few others. Scott in Arizona, you're on the air with George Butler and Alejandro Jones.
Hey, Alex. My question is, we know at Rockefeller, it seems like is there a way to put him, like you've done movies on these guys before.
Yeah, David Rockefeller just called for one-child policy and population reduction again today. That's up on prisonplanet.com.
How come we can't go and just put, major like crimes against humanity on this guy and just put him all over the press?
Because they own most of the counties and cities and the grand juries. And the CIA has run most major cities for 20 years. I mean, literally. I mean, they pay people off in satchels of money, kill mayors, police chiefs. I mean, the U.S. military runs America. And now NORTHCOM publicly does it. And you get a Jim Garrison every once in a while, and they went after him and threatened his children. But as the evil unfolds, more and more people in government who haven't been bought off will stand up. But they've corrupted so many. You know, most sheriffs are now former FBI or CIA, run by the feds and put in power. And so, yes, we need grand juries to indict Bernanke, Paulson. I mean, they've committed crimes publicly, as Ron Paul said on air last week. We need to, we need to bring them to justice. But I mean, look, PDDs, the State Department Memorandum 200, where it's openly calls for genocide. That's U.S. law. I mean, that's U.S. policy. Kissinger should be arrested right now. In fact, he's indicted all over the world.
This is the ones we just need to focus on. These two names are the big players. They all work for him. Bernanke and all of them work for Rockefeller. We need to really focus on him and Henry Kissinger. Just really work on those two guys right there. If we can just focus on two individuals to try to bring him down and let the whole world come against
him. It would be good to bring them down, but remember, it's like shark teeth. They've got all their evil underlings under them, and it's a system. You've got to discredit the private Federal Reserve system. I appreciate your call, Scott. Anthony in New Jersey, last caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. I was just curious if you're familiar with some of the policies and rhetoric of Lyndon LaRouche.
Yes, I don't agree. I agree with his analysis about the Anglo-American banking establishment.
What about some of his ideas about returning to FDR's policies?
Well, we've had Tarpley, who was formerly one of his acolytes, who kind of espouses the same model. And that is a better model than the corporate kleptocracy that is not free capitalism, free market that we have now. And instead of bailing out the bankers, I agree. I mean, if they really just gave each American, so there wasn't any bureaucracy, $50,000, basically what would be their piece of this bailout, that would actually get the economy going. You're still going to devalue the currency, but people could, that would help a little bit. But if they're going to go ahead and devalue it to begin with, George?
Yeah. Lyndon LaRouche is quite an interesting character in his worldview. He's mixed Neoplatonism in with Alexander Hamilton and a very strong collectivist socialist view that I can't subscribe to. That's basically where.
Yeah, that's right. He's right about the problems, but then his solution is not correct. We'll be talking to somebody who I do agree with, Peter Schiff, coming up in the next segment. Okay,
he's still a statist. Lyndon LaRouche is. He's for big government,
which the bankers wanted.
Yes, that's right. He knows the money problem, but he's wanting to cure it with the big government.
Yeah, he's saying the problem is we've got corrupt people in charge of the largesse.
Put me in charge, and I'll it's going to be okay.
Well, also,
that's what he said.
The LaRouchean organization itself, I'll just say, is very pushy, and just if you've ever had an experience with them, folks, you know.
I've studied them for about 3 years.
You know what my grandma used to say? You can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
Okay, that's good
right.
Advice.
Hey, George, thanks for coming in.
Okay, thank you, Alex.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Schiff is the president of Euro-Pacific Capital Inc., a brokerage firm based in Darien, Connecticut. And he's one of the leading supporters and promoters of the Austrian School of Economics. He is an advisor and one of the people that Congressman Ron Paul cites. And he's involved with the Ludwig von Mises Institute as well. And he appears as a frequent guest on CNBC, Fox News, Bloomberg Television, writes for some of the biggest newspapers in the U.S. and worldwide. And we'll also be giving you his website. He has several of them, so he can plug whatever he likes here on the air today with us for the next 50 minutes. And if we have time, we'll take some phone calls for him before he leaves. Mr. Schiff, it is really a great honor to have you on with us.
Oh, nice to be here.
Okay. Let's get into what's happening with the current global financial system, where you see it going in the short and then long term, the bailout. But then I want to look at the different ways of dealing with this crisis from the position of the central bankers, which I don't want to call free market. They're blaming the free market in the system right now in the media versus what a true free market would have done.
Yeah, well, first of all, the global financial system is, in fact, melting down because it's been unsustainable. The premise has been that the rest of the world saves their money and they loan it to Americans who spend it all and promise to pay it back. But the problem is, you know, when you borrow money and spend it, you don't have any way of paying it back. You know, the only way Americans can pay back the money we've borrowed is to stop spending and therefore use the money that we would have spent on consumption to pay back our debts. But we can't do that because our whole economy is a function of us spending money. So in order to keep our phony economy going, we have to keep spending, which means we can't pay back any of our debts. But in order to keep spending, we have to borrow more, which means the rest of the world has to loan us money indefinitely without any hope of ever getting paid back. And I think this whole dynamic is finally falling apart because the world never operated under the assumption that they were giving us money. They actually believed that they were lending us money, even though we lacked the capacity to pay it back. And now as all these loans are going bad, the whole financial system is crumbling.
Please continue going through the fundamentals for folks and then placing the blame where it needs to go, because instead they're blaming it on the American people. They're blaming it on...
The American people simply, acted on the incentives being delivered to them by the government through our monetary policy and through our fiscal policy. I mean, number one, we kept interest rates much too low in this country, particularly in the aftermath of September 11th and the bursting of the Nasdaq bubble, when the Fed had interest rates down at 1%. They were literally giving money away, and when money is free, people take it, and people took that cheap money and gambled with it, principally on real estate. Not only were Americans gambling themselves by buying real estate at prices that were absurd, But Wall Street was financing the whole thing. They were taking the cheap money and underwriting everybody's speculation in the housing market. And so we had this gigantic housing bubble. And, of course, the housing bubble made everybody think that they were rich. And so as people were extracting equity from their homes and buying cars and SUVs and cell phones and plasma TVs, they didn't really think they were borrowing the money. They actually thought they were rich. They thought they had all this home equity that they were tapping into. But the reality was the home equity never really existed. All they were doing was borrowing money, secured by, the illusion of home equity.
Secured by inflation.
Well, it was, the inflation is what was putting the money into circulation, and eventually the inflation started to cause prices to rise other than real estate, such as food, such as energy, and of course the government blamed that on external factors, but of course it was a direct result of their monetary policy. But then we also have a tax code that incentivizes borrowing. We give people deductions for their mortgage interest, yet we tax people if they earn any interest. And we had all kinds of incentives to buy and flip houses with tax breaks. If you buy a house and sell it at a profit, you pay no taxes. But if you buy another asset and sell it at a profit, you pay taxes. And if you actually work for a living and earn wages, you pay a lot of taxes. So the government made it more lucrative to flip property than have a job. And they provided the cheap money. They also provided the market with Freddie and Fannie, which were these giant government-sponsored enterprises, which by guaranteeing all the mortgages made it possible for people to borrow much more money than they can repay because the lenders didn't care about the default risk because the government was guaranteeing the mortgages. So you had that moral hazard, and so you had this huge bubble. But the whole thing is blown apart. But
we'll talk about the other areas. I mean, we have the mortgages, but we also have all the other types of derivatives and the insuring of them.
Well, the bottom line with all these derivatives is the underlying assets are liabilities that nobody can pay, whether they're mortgage debt or credit card debt or student loans or automobile loans. Basically, the one thing that we were creating in this country was liabilities. And then Wall Street would package these liabilities and make all sorts of securities out of them. And so our whole economy was about incurring debt and securitizing and restructuring debt. It was all phony. It was all a facade. And, of course, but all this paper wealth enabled us to spend a lot of money. But the money we were spending was being loaned to us by the Chinese, by the Japanese, by the Saudis. And all the things that we were spending the money on were being produced in China and Japan and other parts of the world. And so we were basically living off the charity and the productivity of the rest of the world, and it was destined to end because the world's not going to support us forever.
Break down where we're going. Either way, the bailout to me is not so much about the 800 and something billion up to 5 trillion, depending on how you look at it, that it is about giving new powers to the Treasury, giving them immunity, and now we see all these different new world order.
I mean, there's no real bailout because the government can't bail anybody out because the government is broke. I mean, they're just going to borrow more money from abroad or print more money. And ultimately, it's a power grab by the U.S. government to take more control over our economy. And, it's not going to make the stock market go up. It's not going to make the real estate market go up. I mean, it's not going to make all these bad loans disappear. It's just going to make the bad loans, the losses for those bad loans, felt more intently by average Americans than would otherwise be the case if the losses were left on the books of the banks and Wall Street.
So where is all this going? I mean, one way or another, how is this going to unfold?
Well, it's going to be a disaster. I mean, we're going to have something like the Great Depression, only maybe worse, because this time it'll be an inflationary depression where instead of consumer prices going down, they actually rise substantially. And that is what we're looking at. And, the reason we're going to have a depression is not because of a failure of the market. I mean, that's not why we had the depression in the 30s. The government will create the depression because they refuse to allow the market to function. They refuse to allow the free market to work out all these malinvestments and purge all the excesses from the economy because the politicians don't want to level with the American public and tell them that times are going to get tough and that there's nothing the government can do about it, that this is just the price we have to pay for years of reckless borrowing and spending. All the years we lived above our means, now we're going to have to live below them. And they don't want to deliver that message. And so they pretend. They want to pretend that, oh, there's a big problem, and we as the government are going to save it. We're going to protect you. We're going to give you something, and that's what's going to create the depression. It's going to be all the interference in the market that is going to lead to widespread unemployment, massive inflation.
Because of decades ago and throughout financial history, not just here, but in Asia in the 90s, as you know, but I'd like you to speak to this. Governments do come in and reward the criminals that are engaging in this, generally from the government level, between corporations and the government in collusion, which is crony capitalism. It's not free market. And so that allowed them to be involved in even bigger frauds. Now the government's going to blame the free market, bring in some type of global socialist regulatory banking system.
That's what they're doing right now. I mean, governments love a crisis, especially if it's a crisis of their own creation, because what happens is they infect the free market with their socialist programs, and then when it has a deleterious effect, then the government can ride to the rescue saying, aha, we told you capitalism doesn't work, you need us to save you, and the public is so scared that they trust the government, and the government grabs even more power, and now they use that power to do even more damage, and now they say, aha, you need us even more, and they continue to use the crisis and the bad economic times to grab additional power. In fact, if you look at all the despots in history, and you look at, you know, where they came, I mean, you look at like an Adolf Hitler, I mean, how was he able to come to power? He was able to come to power amid the chaos of the hyperinflation that ravaged the Weimar Republic. I mean, if it wasn't for that type of environment, the Germans never would have given up that kind of power to a guy like Hitler.
Well, let's look at the United States. The private banks should have gone out of business, some of them that ran scams and caused panics leading up to 1913. Then the banks righted as an anti-banking bill for government regulation, government giving governmental type power to private banks. Then they engineered the 29 crash, and now the same group is bringing us into the same situation now, and the public doesn't understand that it was government colluding with these private crime syndicates that caused this to begin with.
And the government is trying to pretend that, you know, we have to prop up these banks so that we can keep on borrowing money to buy things. But, you know, we got to stop borrowing money to buy things. That's
exactly. They're acting like the economy. They're saying there won't be payroll met. The whole economy will shut down if we don't have these guys to lend. I don't run my little business in debt. I don't grow.
It's ridiculous. I mean, like, I hear the politicians say stuff like, if these banks fail, then you won't be able to borrow any money to send your kids to college. Well, you know what? That's actually a good thing. It doesn't mean that kids won't be able to go to college. Once the universities realize that nobody can borrow any money to pay tuitions, you know what they're going to do? They're going to slash their tuitions. They're gonna look over their bureaucracies, and they're going to figure out, where can we cut back? Who can we fire? Because we don't want to go...
Well, more than that, the University of Texas, that 90-plus percent of its operations is just investments that have nothing to do with the university, they're going to stop ripping the people off and then putting it in their own private crony side businesses. So stay there. Our guest is Peter Schiff. Stay with us. President of Euro Pacific Capital Inc., brokerage firm, one of the experts that Ron Paul most often quotes, and certainly been accurate predicting what's now happening. You know, it's funny, the true free market, libertarian folks have been right about what was going to happen all along, but we're not the ones now that are going to be listened to. It's going to be the very people that carried all of this out. So what do you see them doing? And, I mean, breaking it down, what is it going to look like? I mean, is this going to be a full-bore depression?
Probably something worse if we don't change. You know, when I wrote my book, Crash Proof, How to Profit from the Coming Economic Collapse, which came out in February of 2007, you know, interestingly, even almost 2 years after it's come out, it's right now the number one selling investment book on Amazon, and I think they just reprinted another 35,000 copies, which they tell me is unprecedented for a book that's almost 2 years old. So people are certainly reading it. But when I wrote that book originally, One of my forecasts was this economy would collapse, this phony borrow-and-spend economy, the housing bubble. I predicted that all that would happen, that we'd have major fallout and ramifications in the financial industry and in, among the lenders based on all these mortgages gone bad. But I also made a more dire forecast, which was predicated on what I thought the government would likely do in response to the crash, to try to prevent it from happening, to try to artificially reflate real estate prices. And it's those government actions that I feared would lead to the worst-case scenario of a hyperinflation and, of a real disastrous outcome for our economy. And now that is exactly what is happening. The government is doing exactly what I feared they would do. And, it does frustrate me that, for years I was going on television and certainly writing and doing things and pointing out all these problems. And while I was doing it, all the supposed experts in government and Wall Street, and I debated, many of them on television, they all laughed at me and they, looked at me, they snickered, or they, this is impossible, this guy is nuts, he's just a gloom and doom, he's a perma-bear, I mean, this is just, he's just fear-mongering, none of this could possibly happen, it's impossible. And of course, all those economic predictions have come true. Yet the very people who said that it was impossible, the people who assured us that our economy was in great shape, that we were fundamentally sound, that it was the best economy in the history of the world, that Alan Greenspan was the greatest central banker who ever lived, that everything was perfect, these are the guys that they're turning to for solutions. These are the same people who say we need to pass this bailout bill or it's the end of the world.
What are you doing with your money?
Well, I mean, I'm doing the same thing with my money as I've been recommending that everybody do their money for years. That's get out of the U.S. dollar. I mean, I know that everybody is talking about how is this bailout bill going to affect taxpayers. Well, it's not going to affect us so much as taxpayers because nobody is raising our taxes. In fact, in this most recent bailout bill, the Senate approved an additional $100 billion in tax cuts. Not only are they spending $700 billion and not paying for it, but they're cutting taxes by an extra $100 billion. So it's not taxpayers who are going to suffer, or not Americans with their taxpayer hat. How we're going to suffer is through the erosion of the value of our wages and our investments, our savings, the bonds that we own, the insurance that we own, because it's all going to be paid for with inflation. The government is printing money and spending it into circulation, and it's going to debase the value of everybody's savings and everybody's wages. And it's not just going to be this $700 or $800 billion. Because of the perverse moral hazards that are built into this bailout bill, the result of the bailout bill is going to be a wave of delinquencies on their mortgages. Because what's going to happen now is that when somebody stops making their mortgage payment, there's not going to be a foreclosure. What's going to happen is the bank is simply going to sell that asset to the government rather than foreclosing, because they'll get more money selling it to the government. So if you stop making your mortgage payment once this bill is passed, no one's going to kick you out of your house. You'll probably live there for a year or two, and eventually you'll get a call from the government saying, hey, we own your mortgage now. I know it's $500,000, and I notice you're not paying it. How about if we reduce it to $200,000 and give you a 30-year mortgage at 4%? Would you consider making the payments? And then you might say, sure. So what's going to happen is this is going to turn into an all-out frenzy of people stopping paying their mortgages, which means this is probably going to cost $2 or $3 trillion.
But I mean, we're all looking at the mortgages. The credit cards are coming due.
No one's going to make those payments. I mean, if the government's going to bail you out of your mortgage debt, they'll bail you out of your credit card debt too.
But again, how they're going to bail it out is issuing more liquidity that devalues the dollar. And who does that punish? The people that actually did save, the individuals that actually did.
Oh, those are the suckers. And therefore, we can't have an economy. You see, the only way you can have a capitalist economy, a real economy, is to have savings. Savings are the root of all economic.
And we now have a negative savings rate lower than the depth of the Great Depression. Stay there, Peter Schiff. I want to come back and get your take on then where this is going, how this is going to unfold, and also tell folks about your book that predicted all of this. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. My website's InfoWars.com. His is Europac.net.
Listen to the radio. George Strait was singing "Seashores of Old Mexico." It sounded so good.
free market versus this thing we've got where select bankers and corporations don't play by any rules. They can cheat and steal the public, this relationship with government where they suck the wealth of the people out, and then they call that capitalism, when really it's beginning to look like communism or socialism for the rich and slavery for us. And we're going to take a few calls for our guests specifically on economics and the bailout. Here's the toll-free number. I'm opening the phones back up. He's going to be gone in 15 minutes or 18 minutes to be technical. 1-800-259-9231. 800-259-9231 to get up on the air with our guest, best-selling author multiple times, Europac.net. But I wanted to talk to you about the window of opportunity we've got, because I was pleasantly surprised when the Congress, the House, said no Monday because they were getting 2,000 calls to five. I talked to multiple congressmen on air. It was about that they get thousands of calls for a couple of pro calls. Other senators are saying the same thing, not just House members. So they did the right thing, narrowly defeated it by 25 votes or so. Now the Senate passes it. They're trying to get the House to pass it now. And all this immunity and new power, as you said, to the feds, how do we maximize? Like you said, your book, 2 years in print, number one on Amazon right now in the financials. You know, everything I've talked about, our numbers exploding, Ron Paul's credibility exploding. You know, all of us that were right, not that we're geniuses, we're just studying real history and what the financial elite are doing. How do we maximize this window of opportunity to hopefully turn this around before, as you've said, you know, you predicted this, and then you gave a worst-case scenario, and they're following the worst-case scenario.
We can turn it around. You know, the Congress is probably going to pass this thing. You know, they've scared the public now with this big drop in the market. They're blaming it on the fact that the bill didn't pass, and they're saying, look, just pass this bill, and we'll make your stocks go back up. It's not going to work. I mean, the market's going to go down whether they pass it or not. Ultimately, it's going to go down more if they pass it than if they don't, because, again, this is going to do a lot of damage and cede a lot of power to the government and make the markets a lot less free and therefore less efficient. But unfortunately, there's nothing we can do as Americans. You know, we can protest all we want, but we're not going to change what government is doing. So all we can do, unfortunately, is protect our own wealth and our own families by taking our financial destiny in our own hands. And that was part of the premise of my book, Crash Proof, and my new book. I have a book that just came out this week, called The Little Book of Bull Moves and Bear Markets, and it's designed to not only show you that this crisis is inevitable, but, you know, where you can invest your money so that you don't end up broke like everybody else. Because, unfortunately, if they wipe out the value of the dollar, they're going to wipe out all U.S. dollar financial assets, and with that, any retirement dreams that any Americans might be harboring right now if they have dollars. And I don't care how rich you are, you can be a multimillionaire, you might even be a billionaire. If your money's in dollars, you're going to be broke. So you've got to look around. You've got to look at foreign markets, foreign currencies, precious metals, other types of investments. And, you know, it's very ironic that right now you're actually seeing the dollar strengthen substantially based on the prospects of this bailout, because the world's investors are so stupid that they actually think the bailout's going to work. They actually think this thing is going to solve all of our economic problems. It shows you how little people learn. I mean, of course, these are the same investors who bought all those subprime mortgages in the first place and thought they were so great, and who bought all the dot-com stocks in 1999 and 2000. So they have a lousy track record, yet they determine the short-term movements in the markets because they control everybody's money.
Well, absolutely.
And smart, I mean, you'll take advantage of their stupidity.
Ron Paul on the show last week said that Bernanke and Greenspan and Paulson should be arrested. They've clearly, he listed some of the crimes they've been committing. And I think, you know, instead of the criminals that engineered this now getting to take over even more of the crisis they created, I think it sends a good message to start grand jury indictments. And that's
that'd be great. But of course, you know, it's not happening. Look at Paulson. I mean, poor Paulson was running Goldman Sachs. I mean, he was part of the problem.
I mean, that's what I mean. Look at that conflict of interest.
Without this bailout, Goldman Sachs would go out of business. And it's not, you know, and it's because of a lot of the things that Goldman Sachs did when Henry Paulson was in charge.
Well, shouldn't Ron Paul and others in Congress, shouldn't Congress be saying at least you're to blame, and then dealing with it from that perspective, instead of just bowing down before the people? I mean, it's so amazing to see Democrat and Republican leaders, the president, the Treasury Secretary, the Fed head, or the private Fed, go on TV and say, go on TV, I mean, I want your take on this, go on TV and say, you give us what we want, and you give us unlimited power, and that's what the first two versions said, the new one says similar things, or there's going to be a depression. I mean, that itself should have sent us in.
I know, and it's not like, look, it wasn't not too long ago, Paulson was saying it was the greatest global economy he's seen in his lifetime, that the U.S. economy had never been in better shape, and now we're on the verge of an economic collapse. How can that be? Obviously, if he's right now, he was wrong then, and if the guy is so incredibly incompetent, why should we give him all this power?
Well, they're not. They know they've been lying the whole time.
Congress, like a month ago, and looked those congressmen and senators right in the eye and said, if you put a bazooka in my pocket, I'll never use it.
Peter Schiff, what do you...
And a week later, he's using it, he's shooting it, you know, dry.
Now, I understand.
And now we're giving him a nuclear warhead.
I agree. Peter Schiff, how is this going to play out? You've been really good at predicting what's going to happen. They're following the bad course. I agree with you. It looks like they're going to go ahead and follow the worst possible course, but at least it's without the will of the people. And so now when it really runs its course, then we may have a chance of finally moving.
Yeah, they're going to create massive inflation, a lot of unemployment. What's going to happen is you're going to really start to see food prices and energy prices and other things start to get very, very expensive. The government will probably ultimately impose price controls on energy, on food products, which will create shortages of gasoline and food and long lines and black markets and civil unrest. I mean, I think it's going to be a real mess. And eventually, I think they're going to impose capital controls. I think they'll make it illegal for Americans to buy foreign currencies or to buy gold or anything. The government is going to try to deal with all the symptoms and none of the problems, which is one of the reasons that people need to act quickly. I mean, that's what we're doing. You know, my brokerage firm is called Euro Pacific Capital, and the website for the firm is europac.net. But what we're helping people do is get their money out of U.S. dollars and accumulate foreign assets, precious metals, while it's still legal and while the dollar still has value. And I would recommend
that's what I'm telling people to do.
Somebody, but people who have a lot of financial assets have to act quickly. Otherwise, they're going to watch an entire lifetime of savings and investments just go up in smoke.
Well, that's the fact. The establishment, the big, you know, top guys running the criminal operation, they plan to blame this on capitalism. They plan to manage this crisis they engineered into a total police state, as you said, and they're moving in heavy armored brigades, saying in the Army Times, it's for civil unrest. They've set up NORTHCOM. They passed the John Warner Defense Authorization Act 2 years ago, saying it was for martial law. They have been planning this all along. Now, we can debate whether they've lost control of it, but clearly from the IMF and World Bank documents and other plans, what we've seen them do with the third world model is they have engineered collapses before. Do you believe this is engineered, or are you going
to
say no, they've just lost control?
To engineer it. I just think it's a comedy of errors. I actually think that these people have good intentions. I don't read into it an evil motive.
Have you ever read the IMF World Bank documents?
Trying to destroy the country. I just think they're just completely incompetent, and they're looking out for their own self-interests. And
they just knew. They just knew 5 years ago to secretly start federally getting rid of posse comitatus for an economic collapse.
I don't know. I don't have a nefarious motive, and I don't think they're smart enough to say, hey, let's collapse the economy ourselves.
Well, they're in control of things.
But they're just making mistakes. They're just doing things wrong. There's just so much ignorance out there. Now, I believe that a lot of these senators who voted for this bill really believe they're doing the right thing. I don't think they're evil people. I just think they don't know.
Peter Schiff, either way you cut it, as you know, it's the same thing. The same thing's going to happen in the end. And as soon as the yuppies finally stop believing CNBC and finally do buy gold and silver, we've already got the mint shutting down, selling a lot of their coins, not just the buffalo, as you know.
By the time the average American wakes up and tries to buy gold, it'll be thousands of dollars an ounce. Oh, sure.
How high do you think gold's going to go by the end of this? How long is this going to run?
By the end of the year, I don't know. I was forecasting $2,000 gold sometime next year, and I still think that's a reasonable target. But, you know, ultimately, there's no ceiling to what the price of gold can go to because there's no floor for the dollar. I mean, look where the price of gold is in Zimbabwe. I mean, it's billions of dollars an ounce. Actually, I think it's trillions of dollars an ounce. So, you know, if you can debase your currency down to nothing. So, I don't know, gold might go to $5,000 or $10,000 an ounce, but it could go a lot higher. I mean, there's no way to know because you don't know where the dollar is going to stop falling. If we end up with Zimbabwe-style hyperinflation, you're not going to be able to have enough zeros to figure out the price of gold.
I agree. So people better move into real assets, and they better do it muy pronto. Let's go ahead and talk to who's up first here. There's so many calls. Kelly in Maine. You're on the air, Kelly, worldwide.
Alex.
Hi.
Hello, Alex.
Yes.
Hi. Thanks for putting me on. And also, thank you for shouting out to Justin TV earlier.
You bet. You're on the air with Peter Schiff. You have a question.
Yes, I do. I want to know what will happen if the government will own the mortgages. Will they start building on the land like FDR did?
Yeah, they're going to have make-work projects.
What they're going to own are going to be for land that already has a structure on it. But what I think the government is going to do once they acquire these mortgages is I think they are going to make deals with the homeowners and substantially reduce the mortgages that people owe.
By the way, banks are already
have their mortgages reduced dramatically.
Peter, you're right. Banks are already privately doing deals with people to substantially cut down on what things cost so people won't walk away.
I'm in favor of that. But what I'm not in favor of is the government overpaying for these mortgages and then doing the deals and throwing the losses on American citizens.
Yeah, what did you think of Bernanke saying he wants the government to pay premium prices?
Well, they have to pay premium prices. Otherwise, they would bankrupt all the entities they're trying to bail out. That's the whole joke. The government's trying to pretend they're going to make money on this thing. That's a crock.
Kelly, anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go ahead now and talk to Clifford in Pennsylvania. You're on the air with Peter Schiff.
Yes, sir, Mr. Schiff. You have my account already, and
Good.
Well, I'm down 15% in the last 2 weeks, and I spoke to Mr. Lou Kasowitz today, and I spoke about precious metals, and you're talking about precious metals, and he told me, what if it went down the way it can go down, and it's so volatile, how would I feel about that? Because I was concerned about the 15% loss, because I thought by going with you, I would protect myself from the U.S. dollar.
Well, you're protecting yourself from the long-term erosion of the dollar, not the day-to-day fluctuation in the market. I mean, you've had a big jump in the value of the dollar. We've seen a big drop in commodity prices in the last
Let me comment weeks. On this because, you know, I'm not in business with our guest, Mr. Schiff. We have him on because he has a track record of being about 95% right on predictions. The establishment, I appreciate your call, Clifford, has trained us. Okay, stay there then. The establishment has trained us to look at the market day to day, week to week, instead of on 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 year graphs. Gold is going straight up. Commodities of every type are going straight up because they're still going to have value, and then that will be adjusted with currencies as they're devalued. Okay, and so, you know, I've read over Schiff. He's saying invest in Europe, invest in other places. That's not going to give you total protection. It's statistically going to give you a higher protection than being in the center of where the H-bomb's going off right here in the United States. Is that correct, sir?
Yeah, it's just that right now, a lot of people are running towards the blast. Eventually, they're going to turn and run away from the U.S. But yeah, a lot of these foreign assets are going down right now. But you know what? It's a great time to buy them because we're getting a great deal. It doesn't mean it's the absolute bottom, but a few years from now, we're going to look back at these prices and kicking ourselves because we didn't buy even more.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm about being nothing but solid now because I don't trust any of it that's in any paper. Certainly, people should be conservative, but precious metals, all the way, you can't beat that. It could go up or down, but bottom line, it has intrinsic value because of intrinsic scarcity. Real fast, because I want to get other callers in here. Finish up, Clifford.
Well, I mentioned the gold multiple times in the last 2 weeks, and I know it's gone up and down, but I'm with you, and I'm looking for the protection of you said solar assets, and some of your managers don't think the same way.
The stocks that we're buying are real assets. We're buying utilities, we're buying oil and gas companies, we're buying commodity companies.
Yeah, they're not buying leveraged paper.
We're buying real stuff around the world and getting dividend yields.
I appreciate your call. You need to
stocks go down.
Clifford, you can call if you're in business with our guest. Talk to him then, okay? We gave you two questions. Let's go. I mean, look, you're in a volatile market, folks. It's going to get bad, okay? Let's go ahead and talk to Chuck in Texas. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, my question was, In 1929, they tried to do a bailout, sort of, kind of. They had someone from J.P. Morgan buy up a whole bunch of stocks.
No, for a year, it was a roller coaster, yeah.
Yeah, and they were able to make it look like it was okay, and then shortly after that, the market started going back to getting all crazy again, and then it just fell even harder than it was going to begin with.
Yeah, that's the whole point. They know that. They're just trying to shore up their assets and keep the whole thing going as long as they can. Let's get our guest take on that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's no question about it. But what we have to do is we have to, you know, keep our mind on the bigger picture and what's going to happen eventually to the value of the dollar. And the fact that right now, you know, there is a global financial crisis because Americans, we borrow trillions of dollars from the world and we can't pay it back. And so the people around the world who loaned us this money, they're suffering because they've lost a lot of wealth. They bet big on Americans and they lost.
We also have an arrogant...
Ultimately, their economies are far healthier than ours.
We also have an arrogant, predatory government that is going to keep squeezing as the states go bankrupt. So watch your six, folks.
I know. Look, some of the municipalities, or there's another big municipality that's about to file Chapter 11, will be the biggest bankruptcy since Orange County. And, you know, people are sitting in municipal bonds. They think they're safe. A lot of these municipalities are going to be going bankrupt
also,
in the next several years. And even the ones that don't, all you're going to get back is money that has very little value.
Also, the big brokerage firms have been roping into the pension funds and retirement funds. Folks, you're screwed. Get ready for the New World Order. Let's go ahead and take another call here. Let's talk to Nick in Brooklyn. You're on the air. Last caller for our guest. Go ahead.
Alex, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead and talk.
Listen, I got a quick question. Are you familiar with a guy named Lyndon LaRoche?
Yes, I just an hour ago said that I don't agree with his solutions of big government.
Oh, okay, so I must have missed that, because actually I just wanted to know, you know, get your take on that stuff.
Well, I mean, he's right about a bunch of the problems, but I don't agree with their big government socialist solution. And we'll close out with Peter Schiff on that subject right now.
Well, I'm not even too familiar with the theories of Lyndon LaRoche. I mean, I know of him, but I haven't really studied any of his stuff. But yeah, I'm sure he's come to some big government type conclusions. And I find a lot of agreement, believe it or not. Some of the people on the far left understand that there's some real problems in this country. Unfortunately, they don't understand why these problems are here, and their solutions will just make the problems worse.
Look, I'm against the bailout, but if they're just going to give it to the private bankers, I mean, if we're going to have socialism, they might as well just give us, if they're going to devalue our currency, just give us all a $50,000 check. I mean, that would spur the economy.
Just cut out the middleman of Wall Street. Yeah, just take the money and drop it directly from the helicopters to the people instead of funneling it through Wall Street.
Directly from the helicopters. All right, Peter Schiff, I want to get you back up in the near future. Europac.net, thank you so much.
Sure thing.
All right, we'll be right back with Final Transmission. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a absolutely power-packed radio show today with Andrew Gauss, George Butler, Peter Schiff, and others. Got other big guests tomorrow and throughout next week. We will continue to track the criminal activities of the New World Order here on air for all of you. But in these times of uncertainty, the American people are not taking this half as seriously as they will soon. We are so easygoing, so comfortable, so used to everything basically being smooth, though we've been economically losing more and more over the last few decades, the very serious times are here. Even more serious times are ahead. And now more than ever, I need you, the listeners of this radio show, to get on other radio talk shows, not just here on the network, other Patriot networks, or other rinky-dink web things, but I need you to get on mainstream talk radio, on stations that air my show, other ones, and talk about how the bankers are engineering this, how bottom line, whether they did it by design or not, they engineered it. They did it. And how they're bringing us into some really bad times. And for all the governments and everybody else who's been laughing and giggling, you know, government people, look, the party's over. We got taken. Now, Ted sold out of the almost all of the buffaloes. The government ran out of them. They can't get the gold, literally, to make them. Other coins the U.S. Mint makes are in short supply. They're limiting them to, you know, one or two coins per person. You can't get buffaloes from them. Ted has some left, but he's limiting it to one coin per person. These are the beautiful 1-ounce buffaloes. He's got a bunch of others. Even American Eagles are shooting up. You can't get them anywhere near spot. Everything's getting a premium. It's getting hard to get the French and European francs. Ted has them. These are great coins right at melt. Ted gets them before gold goes up. He passes it on to you. So I just briefly, at the very end of the show, before we go into rebroadcast on the internet at Infowars.com and the podcast, then come back live on the AM/FM tomorrow or on stations across the country to re-air it. Ted, again, people need to get into this now before it's too late. People are going to be wishing later they'd liquidated some of their paper crap and gotten into metals.
Before it's too late, my God, it's almost already too late with what's going on in this marketplace. People need to wake up, and they need to wake up fast. You're talking about that Buffalo coin. I offered them at $920. I went on eBay just to see what they're getting for these things. The closest one that I could find what I'm selling it for is $960, and most of them are up at $1,100. That's how much they're carrying premiums in the marketplace right now because there's nothing available. In addition to this, the francs that I'm selling right now at $190 a piece at the moment, you can't even get them in the United States. I have to import everyone from Europe because the entire supply is sold out. I mean, just like Peter Schiff said, man, when the regular people open up to want to buy gold, there's going to be no gold available to them.
Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen. I only wish that I had more capital. But all the capital I've got is locked into doing this TV deal. We're building the studio right now. We got the bigger office. You know, in 3-4 months, we got the office moved in. We're building it. I'm trying to be, slow on the bids to finish the studio because it's so expensive to even build a cheap one. But we're doing that, and we're going to stay here on the air, and I'm going to dump everything I've got into it. So that's why I buy the books, buy the videos. I don't even plug those anymore. That's the biggest part of waking people up. PrisonPlanet.tv memberships, Get Truth Rising, Endgame Terror Storm. People are waking up and listening now like they've never listened before. Now is the time to be out engaging the public and waking them up. And now is the time to be protecting yourself. Okay, so you can call and get one of the Buffaloes because Ted wants to only sell what he's got in supply, but he's got plenty of the Franks, which are in short supply almost everywhere else. What silver do you have, Ted?
Right now, still the best buy on silver are the dimes. Right now, they're at $1.60 per dime or a 1600 per 100 face.
Those are the silver dimes, ladies and gentlemen. 1-800, give them the number.
1-800-686-2237. Again, 1-800-686-2237.
Ted, thanks for coming on. Retransmission on the web at one place. Got to go to those streams. The Infowars.com streams. God bless you all.